Congratulations on surviving Workstream 1.
Oh.
Almost.
I'm jinxing.
And welcome to this face-to-face meeting from the CCWG Accountability in Marrakesh. And as usual, we will be doing the roll call with those attending the AC room as well. So please log into the room. Log into the room. Remember that we use the room to handle the queue. So it is important that even if you are personally here, that you log into the AC room so we can handle the queue. And also, I remind you to kindly state your name before speaking, which I didn't. I am Leon Sanchez. So I remind you to please state your name before speaking for transport records, and also I believe it's important for everyone to actually get to know who is speaking. And we might have, of course, remote participation, so at this point I would like to call for anyone in the phone bridge that is not in the Adobe Connect room to please say their name so we can add them to the roll call. Okay, so it doesn't seem the case. We have no one on the phone bridge that is not in the Adobe Connect room. Although I see many people here that are not in the Adobe Connect room, so please log into the Adobe Connect room. Are we having problems with... Okay, so some seem to be having problems with the Adobe Connect room, and could we please paste the URL for the Adobe Connect room so that anyone has it handy at the top of the agenda. Thank you. Okay, so one important thing for this day is that we are not engaging in any substantive discussion on our final report. The word final is exactly that, it's final. So please let us not get into discussions about the final report, as it has already been sent to the chartering organizations, and we are just expecting authorization and approval from each of the chartering organizations. We remind you that we have long established a rule of maximum two interventions per person per topic, and we also have a clock and we know how to use it. So if participations begin to be excessive, as has been leveled, we will begin using this 2-minute timer to manage the queue and interventions from participants and members, of course. And our main goal is to have a party by the end of this meeting, of course, but we also want to have a clear view on how we're going to implement our Workstream 1 recommendations and how we are going to plan our work forward for Workstream 2. So with no further delay, I would like to handle the floor to my co-chair, Thomas.
Thanks very much, Leon, and good morning to all of you. On this ICANN meeting in Marrakesh, and there has been a lot of complaint about transparency over the last couple of months, and I think that at the moment the only thing that's not transparent is the sky, and hopefully that's going to change, but our report is all done. That's excellent news, so let me also use this opportunity to thank all of you for your constructive discussions over the last couple of weeks. It has been a painful process at times, we understand that. We've all been suffering, I guess, but I think that the work product that we now have in front of us and that hopefully will be approved by the chartering organizations in the next couple of days is really something that we should all be proud of. And we certainly haven't managed to make everyone happy, but I think, and that's part of the exercise, we've managed to make everyone equally unhappy. And so if you frown or you're groups frown upon certain recommendations, look at the package. Look at what we've done in order to make ICANN a better place, to make ICANN a role model for the multi-stakeholder model, and try to convince those that don't like individual aspects of the set of recommendations to look at the whole package that we've brought together, and that others are unhappy on other aspects of the proposal, and let's just all say yes to what we have on the table. So the main purpose of this hour is to prepare for this week. As Leon said, this is not the place to relitigate or reopen debates on substance, but we would like to discuss with you how to best engage with the community. We are all knee-deep in all this, but we need to make sure that we take the whole community along with us. And I'm not sure whether we have the slide deck to be used in the engagement session ready. There have been some issues because Hillary, who is the master of all this, had some problems getting to Marrakesh. So I'm virtually looking or physically looking at staff whether we should or whether we can bring that up. Otherwise, we're going to save that for later. Okay. So what I'd suggest we do then is do a quick tour de table for representatives of the chartering organizations to see whether there's anything that they would like to bring up with respect to their approval process so that all of us are on the same page with respect to what to expect and when to expect breaking news during the week. So if I may, I would like to start with the CCNSO. So do we have a CCNSO member in the room that could potentially...
I can do that.
So Mathieu, conveniently sitting to my left. So I think that you're going to decide that amongst yourself, but Mathieu, you got to get the first bite of the apple.
So thank you very much, Thomas. Mathieu A. speaking, CCNSO appointed co-chair. The CCNSO is planning two or three sessions on the INS stewardship transition during its regular face-to-face member meeting. So it's on Tuesday and Wednesday. The first session is on the Tuesday morning, and it's going to include an update on the report, but also each of the CCNSO appointed member is going to provide a very summarized view of whether or not they recommend approval. There will be some question and answers and debates, and another session on Wednesday about the next steps. The CCNSO has the practice of taking the temperature of the members before going to the council meeting where a decision is to be made upon supporting our recommendations. And the council meeting where that will take place is scheduled on Wednesday at the end of the day. I think it's around 5 p.m. local time. So that's the plan for CCNSO.
Thanks very much, Mathieu. Let's hear ESSEC, and let's all congratulate ESSEC for being the first ones to send a letter of approval to us. I guess that's excellent. If you look at the CCWG wiki page, we have a visualization of the approval status for the respective groups, and you have a check mark on it. So let others follow that that excellent example. So I'm not sure whether you want to say a few words. I didn't want to skip you, but just shout out that you've been great.
Thank you, Thomas. Julie Hammer speaking. Just on behalf of ESSEC, this wasn't rushed through by any means. Lyman and I have been keeping the ESSEC up to date with what has been happening within the CCWG, the various proposals, and we've certainly considered the issues that affect ESSEC in some detail. And in reality, that is only a few of the issues. Many of the issues, as you well know, we believe are not within our remit. So when the final report did come out, we explained the changes. We put it through our normal, quite extensive ESSAC approval process, and all the members were quite comfortable with our recommendation that we approve it. So thank you for that. But it was not rushed through. It was certainly put through our normal, very deliberate process.
Thanks very much. I guess nobody would have expected you to rush the process. We all saw you with us in the room over the last year. We know that you've actively followed the process. But I think we've all been very impressed with you being the first one to lead on the approval process. So, ARSEC. Is there someone from ARSEC in the room? No, I shouldn't have asked ASIC in the first place because they're not chartering.
There is someone here from ASIC wondering why you asked that question.
This was just a test, whether you pay attention to what I'm saying.
I mean, ASIC does ASIC want to become a chartering organization right now?
You can take all the glory.
Can we discuss that? I think we need to talk about that for about 3 hours.
I do apologize for this hiccup. So let's move to the GNSO then. Steve, do you want to speak?
I don't see James in the room at this point. This is Steve DelBianco. The GNSO working session over the weekend has 2 hours dedicated tomorrow from 1 to 3 p.m. for the discussion. And GNSO has posted a draft motion, and the motion, while it is only a draft, suggests adopt and lists all 12 recommendations. But I'm sure there'll be a full-throated discussion tomorrow between 1 and 3 p.m. in GNSO, leading towards their Wednesday consideration of the motion.
Thanks very much, Steve. Is there someone from the GAC in the room? I know this is a rhetorical question, but I thought, who would like to speak on behalf of the Olga? Sorry.
Good morning, everyone. I don't know if our chair is in the room.
No?
Okay. Thank you for giving me the floor. The GAC is planning 5 sessions to review the document, and we would finish by Tuesday. That's the idea. We still have some issues to talk about and discuss, you know, but we that's the plan. I don't know if you have further questions. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Olga. So we have 4 out of 5. Who's the same?
ASO.
I saw Izumi Athena. Not sure who wants to speak.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Athena Fraguli from behalf of the ASO. So the ASO had no issues with the third proposal. Also, we shared the supplementary final report, and we don't see any issues also with the community. We shared it. The only issue we had was explained in our minority opinion, but had nothing to do with the substance of the report. It was just a matter of the implementation, because our accountability we base pretty much on the SLA for the numbering function. So we don't expect any issues. We have given our positive feedback as ASO liaisons, and it's just a procedural matter to have a final approval by the NROEC. We expect it around the 6th of March. Thank you.
Thanks very much. That's very helpful. And last but not least, ALAC. Alan.
Thank you very much. Before the ALAC statement, I'll suggest the GNSO representative arranged the transcript to be changed. There was a minor typographical error in the transcript that described your motion as a daft motion. And, okay, correct. Or it could be left alone. The ALAC has been working hard on this. We had 4 hours of two-hour briefing sessions for ALAC and other at-large members over the last week. We have an extensive amount of time allocated, which I dearly hope we will not need over the weekend, and we hope to finish our process this weekend. Should something come up, it will be done, finished at our wrap-up on Wednesday, but we are optimistic that it will be done prior to that. At least I am optimistic. I have a question. There are some people who are suggesting that in addition to ratification, should we ratify, that we may provide a statement. What would be done if we did such a thing? It's not a minority statement because it's too late for that, but a statement along with the ratification. I mean, obviously, if we don't ratify, we'll provide a statement.
Yes, we wanted to speak to that anyway. I guess the answer is this. We have our report. Ideally, we would expect a yes or no to the whole package. We would strongly disencourage you to combine your approval with conditions that will put us in a very bad situation. We know that some are considering explanatory notes or clarifications on their understanding of certain aspects of the report. Certainly there's no way for us to prevent that from happening, but let's just say that each and every language that you add to your approval might add ambiguity and cause confusion as to whether approval is conditional or not. So we would like to encourage you to be conservative with any additional language that you might consider. Tijani, your hand is up.
Thank you, Thomas. I don't think it will be conditions, but there might be, remarks about the implementation and the bylaw drafting. So I think it is useful to have something like this.
It's certainly a thin line. If you speak to matters of implementation, we know that there's always an issue between implementation and policy. So if you are requesting things to be done during implementation, that might change the policy recommendations that we're making. So I would just advise to be conservative with any additional language that might cause frictions. Just imagine we have all the chartering organizations. You know, the first has set a precedent by sending an unconditional, very straightforward approval letter. But if everyone else comes back to us with additional narratives on how they understand and construe the recommendations and how they want them to be implemented, that might cause some issues for the process to come and the approval as such. Mathieu.
Thank you, Thomas. Mathieu Vey speaking. I'm very much in line with Thomas. Even statements that would be felt in good faith as purely implementation run the risk of creating some conflicting interpretations between different chartering organizations. And we would be in a very bad situation if we had to resolve this between basically Wednesday 7 p.m. and Thursday 1 a.m., something like this, right? So I understand the need for also providing some flesh to the rationale for approving, but maybe this flesh is better if it's considered as internal to the chartering organization. The rationale for ALAC or any other chartering organization in its analysis of whether or not the recommendations can be approved and not sent back as a statement or a position to the chartering organization itself. So it can help the ALAC or other organizations in the way it will oversee the implementation later. It's certainly a useful context element, but I think it's best if it's separate from what is being considered in our charter, which is the approval or rejection of the recommendations. And I hope this helps and finds a way to accommodate your concern, Tijani. Thank you.
Leon.
Yes, this is Leon Sanchez. And Tijani, one of our main objectives today is just to know how we're going to go forward and how we're going to implement things. So hopefully by the end of today, we won't be needing to make any kind of clarification statements or side statements along with the chartering organization's approval, because hopefully we'll find out how this is all going to work by the end of the day. So let's not anticipate any conclusions. Just let's wait for what we have prepared for you.
So what I understand from the chartering organizations is that there's going to be discussion, and it's good to have discussion even in the inside the chartering organizations. Not everyone has been following our process so closely as we were forced to. So everyone should need to know exactly what they approve ultimately. But it looks like we don't see any dark clouds coming up. There are no major issues, which is a good sign. Otherwise, I think individuals that just spoke would reflect that. Cavus, you've raised your hand.
Yes, it was. Good morning to all of you. Olga, as a representative, not a member of the GAC in CCWC, provide information is very good. I, as a participant of CCWC, want to add some complimentary information. We have discussed in our last call, which took about 2 hours, all 12 recommendations. Preliminary, we made the statement that we have no difficulty with 10 recommendations. That's the good news. There are two recommendations because of the complexity, sensitivity, and delicacy. We have to further discuss, and several meetings have been envisaged. And you know that many of the government, due to several reasons, may not have been actively participated or followed all the discussions. So we need to discuss these two recommendations in our physical meeting, and we do our best. One thing, my experience, that we should look into the world as it is, but not as it should be. We should understand each other. There is no question on the table who is right, who is wrong. The question is that people should agree with each other. So that is very, very important. We have to buy and we have to sell. We have to sell our ideas. If there are buyers, so far so good. If there are no buyers, we have to try to make it in a way that could be bought by others. Never we should look into any idealistic, never into any perfections. One thing in the law is that letter and spirit. Associated with the spirit of law is circumstances and environment under which that has been agreed. When you have something, a text, a lot of discussion took place, and the result of those is that is that. Does not mean it is perfect in language, but it is what is outcome of that meeting. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cavus. That's very helpful. After this walk through the different chartering organizations, I would like to invite Cavus maybe again to speak to the process that's going to be used by ICG, because delivery to the U.S. government also has the component worked on by ICG. And then I would like to turn to a board representative to speak to the process that the board envisages to follow during the week in order to achieve our goal of handing over the proposal on next Thursday. So, Cavus, if I may put you on the spot.
Yes, with the agreement of Keith Drazak, with another liaison of the ICG, our task in the last call that we had was quite simple, how to send our information to the NTIA. This was discussed at whether we send it to NTIA or how do we send it. We said that we send to the ICANN board and ask them to send it to NTIA within some period of time, 14 days. If they have any comment, they could add to that. If they don't have comment, but they don't change the text. We didn't have any other information in the ICG because we were prepared about 6 months ago, so we're just waiting. Our important point was that now we have a confirmation of CWG that all conditions and requirements of CWG were met by the CCWG accountability. That was important for us, and we have that guarantee from the CWG co-chair that conditions are met. So So for us, that is important. We are not dealing with the result of the CCWG, whether there would be any addition or not, because our main condition was CWG requirement must be met, and it has been confirmed were met. So ICG has no problem to send the information, and we have already prepared a draft letter and authorized the chair of the ICG to send it on 10th of March to the NTIA, to ICANN or to ICANN, to be sent to NTIA. Thank you. If Keith wants to add something.
Yeah, I just wanted to invite Keith to add to that, if you want to. No?
Okay, thank you, Thomas and Kavus. Keith Drazik. Now, Kavus summarized it perfectly well. I would just add that there was some discussion in the ICG about the possibility that it could send its report prior to the completion of the CCWG work, because the CWG had in fact indicated that the key dependencies had been met. But the consensus agreement within the ICG was to wait until the CCWG work was in fact complete, approved by the chartering organizations, and ready to be transmitted as well as a package. So thank you.
And let me just personally add that I very much welcome the wisdom of ICG to wait. I think it makes the whole proposal look more cohesive if delivery occurs at the same time. So thank you. Thank you for that. Thanks, Kavus. Thanks, Keith. I'm not sure who wants to speak on behalf of the board. Bruce, do you want to speak as board liaison?
I'm happy to speak as board liaison. What would you like me to speak about?
happy to do that. Bruce, after we've heard from the chartering organizations as to what their process is going to be towards approval during the week to come, we would also like to hear from the board what the next steps will be. You know, there are transition facilitation calls where the board has gone on record that they would appreciate a cool-down period between finalization or approval of the proposal and passing it on to NTIA. Now things look like the chartering organizations will formally approve on Wednesday, at least some of them. Are we going to see issues with the timeline? Are there any other pieces of information that you would like to convey from the board in our journey towards submission to NTIA?
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. Certainly the board's been keeping or having regular information calls. There was an all-day meeting yesterday of the board where the recommendations were discussed. So certainly the recommendations as drafted in the current draft that came out a few days ago, there's no issues from the board, so, you know, as long as things don't change, I think we're on board. So more of the discussion is now about implementation. So we're assuming that if the chartering organisations sign off and we get the final report from the CCWG, that we would be able to process that report fairly quickly. And now our focus is changing towards what are the critical path elements to get the process complete. One of those is bylaws drafting. So we've formed a team on the board that will work closely with the CCWG team to try and get those bylaws completed. And the aim, obviously, is to try and get all the bylaws published and reviewed by the community and then approved by the board within the next 3 months or so.
Thanks very much, Bruce. That's helpful. So it looks like everything is on track. All the groups are working hard to make possible what some have thought would be impossible for this community to achieve. So that's great news. I think that the slide deck for the engagement session is not yet ready, which is why I would suggest that we skip this particular point for the moment and get back to it later. I guess what's important, though, is to speak a little bit to the expectations for the week. The slide deck that I've planned to show to you is the slide deck for the engagement session to ensure that we take the community along with us and explain the recommendations to the community. We have a town hall session on Monday that's going to be used for that purpose. Our group also has work to do on Workstream 1 implementation and Workstream 2. So by the end of this week, hopefully we'll all have a clearer view on how we're going to organize our work for both of these areas, right? So even though the work will not have been kicked off in substantive discussions, we will start the discussion here and try to frame a straw man work approach for all the subject areas that need to be worked on in the months to come. So hopefully we're going to have that by next Thursday before we have our big party. Hopefully there's something to celebrate. And then I would suggest that we move to the next agenda item on Workstream 2. And Leon, you're going to take over.
Thank you very much, Thomas. This is Leon Sanchez. And our next agenda item is planning for Workstream 1 implementation, right? So I sent you an email yesterday on behalf of my coaches trying to kickstart the discussion on how we see our work going forward, not only in regard to implementation of Workstream 1, but also as to planning our work for Workstream 2. So in regard to planning our work for Workstream 1, we have been discussing a way forward, and this way forward could be that we have two teams that would be working on implementation, the first one being the IRP team, which I believe would be led by Becky, hopefully. I'm volunteering you. of course, this is subject to discussion and approval by the group, but I think that it will be great if you led that. The other one would be an implementation oversight team, and this implementation oversight team would be comprised of the coaches and the rapporteurs so far. And the object of this agenda item is to, of course, discuss with you whether you agree on this way forward, whether you have any suggestions on how we could proceed with implementation of Workstream 1, and, of course, planning our path for Workstream 2. So in the mail that I sent you yesterday, I proposed a way forward in which we would be breaking the different items for Workstream 2 into small subgroups that would plan their work, they would schedule their calls, etc., and we would be establishing a coordination with this implementation oversight team that would be coordinating the efforts of all the different groups and would in turn be reporting to the wider CCWG. So this is the starting point for discussion, as I said, and we would very much like to hear from you whether this is a viable proposal or whether you have any ideas that you could share with the rest of the group as to how we can move forward on implementation of Workstream 1 and, of course, our work in Workstream 2. So I would like to open the floor for any comments on, firstly, how do we want to proceed with implementation? Let's remember, we are proposing to establish an oversight team, and we are also proposing an IRP implementation team at this point. Should there be a need to establish more teams, we are open, of course, to setting up other teams that would implement other parts of our proposal, but so far these are the two main teams that we are envisioning. So the floor is open, and I see a hand up.
It's Paul Toomey. Can I ask a clarification about the oversight process? If I can take a specific example, the subgroup I'm interested in is the human rights one. How do you see the approval of any of any language that will emerge working through that process. Do you see, I'm just thinking through, how does the bottom-up work here? Does the subgroup work with language? Does the oversight team have the opportunity to change that language? Does the CCWG as a whole get to see the language? I mean, how do you see the approval processes working?
Thank you, Paul. I think that we're going to go into details when we discuss implementation of, our work plan for WorkStream 2. So I wouldn't want to go into details at this point, and I would ask for your understanding so we can get back to these when we are at that agenda item. Thank you. Any other comments? Yes, Caboose.
Thank you, Leon. Are you referring to your email dealing with the working method, the strategies, and so on and so forth, as I heard you talk about having one group, whether you call them a small group or whatever group or reflection group, deal with what you have to do, and based on that we establish other small group with dedicated subjects and so on. Is that also something that you refer to that, or is it different from these two that you are talking about? Thank you.
Well, I think they are linked to each other. One thing is the implementation oversight team, and the other one is, of course, the IRP team, and we will also be breaking down all of our Workstream 2 subjects into different small groups that we will coordinate along with the implementation oversight team. So they are linked. They are not the same, and they are not completely independent, as we will be, of course, interacting and coordinating the different groups among them. And we have a queue on the AC room, and first on the queue is Alan Greenberg.
Apparently in face-to-face meetings, only physical hands count. what you described to the two sub-teams is generally acceptable to me. And I'm certainly not volunteering to take on one of those roles. However, the drafting of the bylaws, and certainly in my personal case, a specific number of the bylaws is going to be really critical. We've made statements along the way saying we'll take this into account when we draft the bylaws. If the first time that I, as a regular member of the CCWG, see the draft bylaws is after we've gone through the whole process and they're presented to this group in a large swath, if not all of them, it's really too late to make changes. The inertia that goes along with this kind of thing, that my standing up from the floor and saying I have a problem with the wording of that thing is a voice in the wilderness. So it's really important for those of us who care about the detailed wording of the bylaws to have an opportunity, as they're being drafted, to point out that there's something wrong, that it doesn't meet what our intent was or what we thought or said our intent was. So although I'm not volunteering to help draft all of them, there really needs to be some involvement, some way to get in part into the loop before they are presented as a almost fait accompli for ratification by this group. If not, I think we're going to have a lot of troubles. So certainly, you're going to have some from me.
Thanks, Alan. Matthew?
I think Alan's point is a very good one. There will be areas where some directions will need to be provided, questions will be asked. But, and we've had a good discussion with our lawyers on that a few days ago. I don't think the notes have been circulated yet because of the travels, but it will be. And the strong recommendation is, what they're saying is, it's going to be more efficient and easier to discuss with the group if you give us some time to, the wording was in the initial drafting, work in a dark cave, go into a dark cave, draft the whole set of documents, ask for some questions and have an initial check with a small group, and then go for the full group. We need to make that process open and transparent so that everyone can see the different questions that are raised by the lawyers, the different answers that the small groups are providing, and how they're, so that we can track what's been done in this process. But they are strongly cautioning us against a process that would be too iterative initially, because in the drafting they're really cautioning us about the time it will take, the cost, and for them the confusion that might stem from it. So I think that's the balance we're trying to see here, and the openness and transparency of the review by this OI implementation team here is critical. Many in this room have some topics or many topics they really care about in terms of implementation, and I think it's good to write them down for each of us and know exactly what we're going to check. But it's compliance check we're talking about. We're not here to open any new question. And I think letting the lawyers draft initially is certainly the best way to avoid that a group starts discussing actually new questions when the drafting occurs. So that's why we're trying to find this balance. But transparency, yes, yes, yes.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Next on the queue, I have Tijani Benjamin.
Thank you, Leon. Leon, if we can have those groups displayed here, because I heard this, something about the implementation team, about oversight team. I would like to see all those groups displayed with the composition you propose and with the mission they would have.
Thank you very much, Tijani. Thomas?
Yeah, just to be perfectly clear, in Workstream 1, we're only having two tasks, two groups. That's the IRP and implementation oversight. All the other work areas are Workstream 2. We're going to discuss that soon. So let's just focus on these two areas now.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Next is Steve Dobbianco.
Thanks, Leon. The process you have on the slide up here speaks to what Alan was getting at, in that when the bylaws come from our lawyers, the first task is to compare them to the written proposal we are approving. And that includes comparing it to the clarifications, all those notes that we added between the third draft and the final. The purpose of that is to make sure that the bylaws have reconciled potentially conflicting clarification notes and understand that then would release them to the full CCWG for ratification. And hopefully, Alan, to your point about timing, I think one lump sum distribution would be difficult to digest and could potentially slow the timing down. So I would say that if we can, as we get chunks of the bylaw from lawyers, we would quickly reconcile them with the recommendations and the clarification notes and then turn that around for CCWG approval as each section comes along. The prior slide up there had said AOC bylaws, but AOC is just one recommendation. It's recommendation 9. What you're really saying is that all of the bylaws other than IRP, because IRP has its own Workstream 1 implementation, it's so complex and it's really the crown jewels of what we're proposing, so the IRP gets its own path, but the other 11 recommendations, 10 of them that affect the bylaws, mean that there are 10 chunks of drafting we'll get from our lawyers. We want to reconcile those and then publish them to the CCWG. So I'm trying to clarify and support your notion of keeping it simple and streamlined, at the same time acknowledging Alan's point about whether one lump sum is the right way to digest it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Yes, the way that you have described it, this is exactly how we're trying to drive this. So thanks for helping us clarify our way forward. Next on the queue, I have Malcolm Hardy.
Thank you. Yes, I share most of the views in the comments that were just raised, both by Alan and by Steve, by way of clarification. I think the label that you have on the slide there, CCWG approval, rather exacerbates the concern that I think Alan was raising and rather tickles me as well. the idea that this would be presented too much as a fait accompli and there'd be no opportunity for the plenary as a whole to check that they really owned the way that this was being implemented. If it said something like review and approval, I think it would give more of an indication that it was understood that there would be an opportunity for the group to consider whether or not they were satisfied that the text had implemented what we had decided. At the same time, I also feel very strongly in agreement with Steve's comment there. This is not an opportunity for the group to reopen issues that have already been decided. The criteria for checking is whether or not the wording adequately implements what has been decided and not whether it does what is right. The objective has been decided in our report and supplemental report. So I think it will be very important for the chairs there, really, to both ensure that there is a proper opportunity for review rather than bouncing this group through the terms, but at the same time holding us very strictly to ensure that we don't reopen issues of principle that have now been decided and agreed upon and approved by the chartering organisations, which will have happened by this point, we hope. I do have one other question regarding composition. Leon, you skipped rather quickly past the issue of composition of the review teams. In particular, the IRP implementation review team, we had already chartered such a group, and it has had a composition selected, and it has met once. Are you proposing to close that group and replace it with a new composition, or are you referring to that group as being this?
Thank you very much, Malcolm. I am referring to that group, and we will also be calling for volunteers later on the agenda. We have an open item for call for volunteers at some point.
The IRP group is set.
Yeah. I mean other groups. But I'm speaking about that group, Malcolm. And yes, I think that maybe we should relevel CCWG approval with CCWG review. That seems quite reasonable. And one point that I really like from your intervention is that this shouldn't mean or this shouldn't lead us to reopen any agreed issues, but just rather check that what it's in the bylaws does match with what we have agreed. Thank you, Malcolm.
Thank you for that clarification. So I'm very satisfied with that answer.
Thank you very much, Malcolm. Next on the queue, I have Jordan Carter.
Thanks, Leon. Jordan Carter, .nz. So we're talking about Workstream 1 implementation, and there are two strands of work. One is the general bylaws drafting project, and the other is the IRP implementation. IRP implementation group is largely sorted out already. We're talking about an iterative process for doing the bylaws, and us suckers who have been stupid enough to be volunteers for rapporteurs and co-chairs, helping make sure the initial draft of those bylaws is consistent with the report. As long as all that's done transparently, so like there's an open archived list, as long as there is substantive time for the group to review, identify any other areas that can be changed, so in other words, as long as it's not fait accompli style stuff, I'm comfortable with that. I don't really see it as an implementation oversight team. That sounds too grand. It's more a kind of review function that we're doing for the group.
Thank you very much, Jordan. We can always adjust the wording and the language that we're using in the slide. So, yes, I think we are in line with what you just raised. Next on the queue, I have Cavus.
Yes, I think the part dealing with the writing the bylaw is a very delicate part, and you said that it should be in compliance with the recommendation. So we should be quite careful about that. One thing that I have to also emphasize that we need into the logistics that requires for the work, the number of the call or any physical meeting or need for the legal counsel. And in that, we should also look into the availability of budget that we have. So, and the other thing is the way that you have organized the meeting in the past was Keith talked about people, so many meetings in haste and not very well established, and the number of the meeting required. So we have to look at that one. So we need, first of all, distinguished co-chair, if you kindly rewrite the document that you want to be further discussed and address all of these issues, and for the logistic also includes ICANN representatives in a more realistic way with their availabilities. Frankly speaking, yes, we have spent considerable amount of money for the first work stream one. We don't have that money, or there is no that money available. Number of the physical interpretations, something that we should look whether there is a request for particular interpretation or not, but not providing all languages if someone doesn't want to speak in that language. So we have to make that something. So every effort should be made to also economize the situation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kavus. And I apologize because I have had problems with my Adobe Connect Room connection. So apparently my queue wasn't refreshing, and I may have altered the order in the queue. And as things stand, I have next on the queue Sebastian Bachelet.
Thank you. No need to apologize. It's already very difficult to run those meetings, and that's okay. I have a few points here, but and by your introduction, you talk about Webstream 1 and Webstream 2. I know that when the Organisation Internationale du Travail, sorry, the OIT, I don't know what it means for, but in French it's Organisation Internationale du Travail, and it's you were elected for a mandate of 3, 4, 5 years, and you will stay on the job for this time. It's great. I thank you for that, because it's a very heavy job you were taking 1.5 year ago. But joke aside, we have two streams, and I understand fully that the first stream need to be taken care of by the current team. I have no doubt about that. I have some reflection on why is the OIT taking care and not a specific group who will be in charge of the bylaw, because there are some people with eventually some knowledge or some willing to be part of that specifically. But my point is that we need to have this group with some breath, respiration, whatever you want to call that, and to see if both the chartering organizations, the people participating, want to stay on board, or it's time to have new people. And I have the impression that for the moment, as we are doing two in parallel, we are assuming that the same will play again. And if so, thank you very much. But if not, I think we need to ask the chartering organization and each participant, no, each members, if they are willing to stay, and if it's not time to change a few of them eventually. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. Matthew?
Thank you, Sebastian. I think in your introduction you said there was Workstream 1 and Workstream 2, and indeed this is just designed for the finalization, implementation of Workstream 1 recommendations. And certainly when we come to discuss Workstream 2, and we'll have to discuss exactly how we organize work. And yes, it is a probability that the team that was so involved, and once again, I think we had tremendous efforts from our rapporteurs in Workstream 1, might need to breathe, and maybe new people might come up and take the work one step further with renewed energy. And at the same, so that's going to be discussed in Workstream when we discuss Workstream 2. The second point you're raising was to the relationship with the chartering organizations. And I think Leon went over this item quite quickly, but it's certainly our intent, just like the CWG did, to write to the chartering organizations to, at this important point in our work, to ask for confirmation or maybe renewal of members if they find it appropriate, and also to have confirmation of the role that our group is planning to play in terms of implementation, because that's not specifically written in the charter. It was not in the CWG stewardship charter either. So I think there's an opportunity to use this meeting in Marrakesh to also liaise with the chartering organization on this aspect. And that would be, if the group agrees, one of the action items we would take out of this meeting so that they have this on their tables and can discuss it during the Marrakesh meeting or in the few weeks after Marrakesh. So thank you for raising these points, Sebastian.
Thank you very much, Matthew. And we have some people in the queue that are not in the Adobe Connect room, and just so that everyone knows, next we have Everhart, then I will go to Chris Despain, then I will go to Jonathan Suck, and then to Alan Greenberg. So if you don't see Everhart and Jonathan on the queue, it's not because, we're not jumping anyone. We're just trying to set the record straight. So next on the queue is Everhart.
Everhart Lisse from .NA for the record. I'm not in the Adobe queue. I have heard what Alan says and Steve says, and as you have noticed from some of my posts, I find it difficult to read 385 pages, preferably as PDF. I need to study them in depth. On the other hand, I realize we don't want to interfere with the legal team doing the actual work, but I find it very helpful if they publish often. They publish incremental, and they publish into a list where the observers cannot post to. So whoever is interested can subscribe as an observer to the list, read this early, and then we can, if we have issues, we can refer it to the co-chairs, and then you can take it, sort of certify it and vet this so that we don't interfere with 20,000 emails like we have done this time.
Thank you very much, Everhart. Sounds quite reasonable. Thomas, do you want to add something?
We will do exactly that, Everhart.
Thank you, Thomas. So next on the queue, I have Chris Despain.
Thanks, Leon. Chris Despain. Morning, everybody. I just want to talk briefly about the implementation of Workstream 1 and talk as a lawyer. I've just got a little bell ringing in the back of my head that what I'm hearing, or at least I think I'm hearing, maybe may lead to an issue. If you let the lawyers draft the bylaws and then you say, we're not sure that this does what we want, that's going to be a problem. The way around to do it is to make sure the lawyers understand exactly what you want and then let them draft it. And if they tell you it gives you what you want, it gives you what you want. The concept of having lots of different people in this group judging whether or not what the lawyers have drafted provides you with what you want is very, very dangerous, because they'll be using different reference points, different legal systems, et cetera, different meanings of different words. So I'd encourage you all to make sure that the key is to make sure the lawyers understand what you want and then let them do the drafting. Don't start wordsmithing their bylaws. That just won't work. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chris. And I think that we couldn't agree more with you. That is precisely why we are trying to go with our lawyers to have them understand perfectly what we want them to reflect in that in those bylaws and then run the drafting process. So I think we're pretty much in line. And next is Jonathan Suck.
Yes, thanks, Leon. Jonathan Suck here for the record. And I would concur, Chris, wordsmithing the work of lawyers is the best way to guarantee a good college education for their children. I see the way this is divided. One of the questions that occurred to me is the budget, for which there is, in fact, a bylaws portion, but there's another part of the implementation as well that has to do with coordination with CWG, that has to do with the draft the maintenance budget outline, what that would look like, et cetera. So it's more of a detailed part of the implementation, but it's part of Workstream one implementation. We've got to make sure we don't let fall on the floor.
Thanks, Jonathan. Next on the queue is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. I think it was Jordan or somebody who made reference to the implementation group's email archive will be open. Everhard made a comment, and Thomas said, yes, we'll do it, but I'm not quite sure what the it was. So I would like some clarification. Is the it saying that there will be observers on this mailing list?
The idea is that this interaction with the lawyers will follow highest principles of transparency. So calls will be recorded, potentially transcribed. The mailing list is going to be archived. So, but what we want to avoid, and this is what the lawyers have explicitly cautioned us not to do, is have the lawyers interact with hundreds of people. So everyone can know what's being discussed. No problem about that. But we should channel the input to the lawyers through a few individuals. That's the idea.
I'm requesting that you use push technology, not pull technology. I don't want to have to go to an archive to read it. I'd like to be on the mailing list and receive, even if I can't send messages. Thank you.
Let me just say that we've discussed this quite a bit when we prepared for this meeting. We want to make sure to keep the workload for all of you as low as possible. At the same time, we do know that this group is very, very sensitive, that bylaws are not being drafted in a cave. You know, and somebody comes out, Eureka, this is what we have, and now you take it or leave it. So everyone who takes an interest in this, whatever technology we deploy to make that possible, should be able to get all information on what is being discussed. To flag issues, and I think we need you guys to flag issues, should there be any, but we have volunteered to accept the workload to do sanity checks. That is not, as Chris said, to have a wordsmithing contest with the lawyers. You know, they are the experts, but we can check whether the requirements established by our group make their way into the bylaws. So I hope that answers the question.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Alan. I see a question at the back of
Mike.
It's Mike.
Yep. Thank you. When you, just for clarification, when you say our lawyers, are you talking about CCWG? Because I heard Bruce mention that the board also has a team. So is it going to be the case that our lawyers are going to do something and then it goes to the board's team and then Jones Day looks at it and we might get some of the dueling lawyer type things? Or are they going to be working together? How's that going to work?
Thanks for the question, Mike. The exact flow of information between the various teams involved is yet to be determined. There's going to be a kickoff meeting that we've accepted to hold on Monday evening. After that, we'll be able to shed more light on that. But this is certainly a collaborative effort between our group, our lawyers, the board, and the board's lawyers. So let's be clear on that. But I think what we're now trying to establish who's going to be on this implementation oversight team to agree with this group, and there seems to be a lot of agreement in this group that we can do as suggested by Leon, and I think that maybe by Thursday next week, even when we reconvene, we can give you more detailed, more specific information on how exactly that's going to work.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Bruce?
Yeah, just a quick follow-up on that. So on the board side, so the board's actually selected a subset of board directors to you know, help be involved in facilitating the process, particularly with respect to communication with the wider board and making sure that from our perspective, the bylaws reflect what's in the report. There's no shortage of lawyers. So on the board directors team, several, maybe a majority of those board directors are lawyers. I will be on that team, and I can assure you I'm not a lawyer. So sometimes it helps to not have lawyers there. And then we will be using the ICANN corporate counsel, which is Jones Day, to help provide advice to the board. We're certainly our direction as a board is directing our legal counsel to work collaboratively with the CCWG lawyers. We don't want a conflict situation. We actually want a collaborative situation. So the goal of both groups is to come up with bylaws that reflect the report. That's the common goal.
Thank you very much. Bruce, Thomas?
Yes, and Bruce, thanks for these helpful explanations. And let me just go on record by saying that the roles of the board and what this group has done doesn't change during the implementation. So this is still a process that needs to be community-led, with ICANN being the facilitator of the community exercise. And then the board certainly has its fiduciary role to exercise when it comes to bylaw drafting, and therefore we need to make this truly a collaborative effort that maintains the spirit of the work that we've conducted over the past 15 months.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Matthew, do you want to add something?
I appreciate Bruce's statement and the fact that you're highlighting that we all share the same goal, which is to provide a set of bylaws that adequately reflect the report and the recommendations. And a question came to my mind when you were speaking about if the board already has clarity about the process towards bylaw approval and some timelines that would be already considered so that this can take place in a time frame that is consistent with the INS stewardship transition. I think it would be extremely helpful for our group if we can have this in mind. As mentioned on the slide, we were operating under the assumption that a public comment might be needed on the bylaws. And so if there's a project plan for that, we really need to work on this very early on so that we ensure we have we're all consistent with that, and we respect the duty of the board to go through public comment on the bylaws, and we can fit this all together. So I it's not to be done here, but certainly an area where further discussions need to take place, and transparency with the whole CCWG and the chartering organizations as well.
I think that's right. I think to give a timetable with locked-in dates is difficult until we actually know that the chartering organisations have signed off and the board actually receives the report. But certainly, Matthew, yeah, I think by the end of the week we would aim to give some sort of timetable which we would work on with your group as well. So, it's really got to be a shared timetable. Well, I don't think we can direct it, but you are correct. My feeling is that our normal process for approving bylaws is that the bylaws are available for the whole community to review before the board finally approves them.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Thank you very much, Matthew. And so just to recap our discussion, we will be setting up a list so that everyone can observe this process. And we have agreed to these. We have some refinements, and we will be also having the IRP group plus the leadership group that would be coordinating the efforts between the different groups. And I see, Kabuz, you raised your hand.
Yes, I have one small question. In the first box, we are preparing the bylaw or draft the bylaw. We said that asking directions. What do we mean by directions? Is it advice? It is clarifications?
And
from whom we ask this advice or directions? Thank you.
I think that asking for directions means what we were just discussing, that we need to tell our lawyers what we exactly need to be reflected into the bylaws, according to our proposals. So that is what we meant by asking for directions if need be. If the lawyers have some doubts on what they are drafting, they should come, of course, back to the CCWG and ask for that direction, whether they are reflecting what we are actually meaning to be reflected into bylaws. So that is the meaning for that. Matthew, you want to add something? Okay, so Does that answer your question, Kavus? Okay. Anyone else? No? Okay. So, Mathieu?
Just to take stock of this discussion. So this, the overall process set out here is going to be our direction with some refinements to the CCWG approval, which will be review and ratification, rather. So the initial drafting is going to be directed to the CCWG Independent Council primarily, but working in a collaborative manner with ICANN Legal. We are going to continue with the IRP group that had been set up so far and use the current rapporteurs and co-chairs as the small group overseeing the drafting for the rest of the bylaws. And both of these groups will operate under the same standards that were already set up for the IRP group, actually, which is a transparent mailing list. People can subscribe, and it's archived and everything. Okay? And we know that what is at stake here is ensuring we have compliance between the report and the bylaws, and no new issue is to be opened. And finally, we heard from Bruce that we'll get some key milestones from the process that the board is drafting for the final approval, obviously, and that is going to certainly drive our project plan as well, and that's going to be a subject of discussions in the next few days. Maybe if we have a meeting on Thursday, so maybe we'll have more details by then, but if not, it doesn't matter. It can be a few days later. So that's the stock we can take from this discussion, which has been very productive, because I think we now have a way forward to deliver as soon as the chartering organizations have approved the Workstream 1 recommendations. And with that, I think your next
say something to the conversation. Because Abri has asked another question.
Mentioning something about the composition of IRP. I don't have it by heart, but I know Becky is the lead, and I think an answer is coming your way, Avery, with probably even the documentation. I think there's a wiki page on it. There's always a wiki page on something. So we'll find it. We'll find it. Becky, would you like to say a few words on the IRP group?
Yes. The IRP group that we have up here includes Chris Despain, David McCauley, David Post, Greg Shatton, Malcolm Huddy, Robin Gross, Samantha Eisner, Tijani, Aaron, Marianne Jourchla, I don't know if I pronounced her last name right, Avery, sorry, Avery, Olga Cavalli, Cavus Arste, and then a variety of liaisons. So it includes lawyers and non-lawyers. And Avery, if you didn't know you were on it, my apologies.
So can I ask Saf to bring up the slides for the engagement session? We had skipped those earlier today. Just give me an indication. If it's not handy at the moment, we can do something else. Okay. So what you see in the remote participation room is the slide deck that we plan to use for the engagement session, the town hall session on Monday. And again, this is a slide deck meant to educate or to inform the community as such about what we've been doing. So I'm not going to deliver this presentation to you because that's all information that you're already aware of. But I would suggest that we go through that briefly, so maybe staff can just slide through those. So that's an overview of the process and where we are. Then we talk about, you know, some statistics, composition of this group, the volume of emails exchanged, Workstream 1, Workstream 2. Then an overview of the proposal, you know, how it's structured with the core document and the appendices. We will speak to the CWG dependencies. And then we're going to go through the recommendations. And as expected, we will speak to the changes from the third draft. So that's basically a quick run through all the recommendations. And the timeline and next steps. So, I mean, that's something we can, you can digest if you want to once it's being sent to the list. But that's just to let you know that, you know, there won't be any surprises or any new facts, but that's basically what we have in our report, with a specific focus on the changes to the third report that's been put out for public comment. Okay, are there any questions on that, or do you have any suggestions in terms of topics that might be of special or particular interest to the community? Doesn't seem to be the case, which allows us to move on with the agenda. Actually, we're ahead of time. I think this is the first time in CCWG's history that we are ahead of time. But that doesn't mean that there is a lot of work to come. So can we go back to the face-to-face slide deck, please? And to the, skip that. Yeah, so this is to discuss workstream number two. As you know, this is a kickoff. We have requested travel support for this extra day, and we would like to thank ICANN again for making it possible for us to meet on Friday, you know, because that wasn't so easy. That took some debate because there's enormous costs involved with that. Also, it's an administrative nightmare to add a day to the ICANN meeting. So thanks so much to ICANN staff, and I'm not sure whether Nancy is in the room. Nancy, can you stand up for a moment? So. So I guess we should, in return, evidence to ICANN and the rest of the community that this money is worth spending, and we would like to kick off the Workstream 2 discussions. As you know, we have a couple of topics to be discussed during Workstream number 2. That's just to refresh your memory, that's diversity, that's human rights, that's jurisdiction, SOAC accountability, staff accountability, we have transparency, and this is going to be covered by an interim bylaw and the subject of the ombudsman. Do we have Chris Lahat with us in the room today? Not yet. So we will try to reach out to Chris, because he has scheduled a session during this meeting to discuss the role of the ombudsman in the post-transition ICANN, and certainly that will be relevant to our Workstream 2 discussions. You will see here, and that's just by way of introduction, that there are certain links between the items to be discussed in Workstream 2, and I think we need your wisdom to make sure that we organize our work in a way that avoids friction, duplication, contradiction between the outcomes. Also, and we will speak to that later when staff gives a quick introduction to how ICANN has dealt with other implementation-related projects, we should discuss what aspects of our work would potentially fit in nicely with the ATRT reviews, because those are related topics. And we need to make a decision as a group whether we want to try combine efforts with work underway in ATRT. Let me be very specific that there have been concerns in this group that if we add things to ATRT, that this could be putting them on the back burner and burying them, deprioritizing them. That is not the intention. Let's be very, very clear on that. This is under our control. We're just trying to inform the group about synergies that could be used. Volunteer resources, professional resources, staff resources, not that staff is not professional, but you know what I'm saying. We might need legal advice on those efforts as well. So we want to make the best out of the resources we have, and we need to discuss whether some of the items can maybe be combined amongst themselves. Maybe we can put something into the ATRT effort without giving a signal to the community that this is not going to be prioritized. And we have a wealth of ATRT expertise in this room that we would like to hear from when we organize our work. So the projects that we need to work on are on the screen. You might, in your imagination, add time to that. So ideally, what we would do is we would work on all these seven projects in parallel. Workstream one, implementation, we must do so that the transition can take place. So this is something that is on our plate for 2016. So those two bars, if you say that beginning of 2016 is on the left and end of 2016 is on the right, or end of the IANA functions contract is on the right, that's something we must do. Question is, what can, want, and must we squeeze in for Workstream 2 at the same time? Is there a topic, or are there topics that you want to let go first? Do you want to work on all those topics in parallel? Do you want to work on them sequentially, which I think would not be a good idea? Do we do a combination of sequential and parallel? So I would suggest that before continuing, we hear some views on that. Maybe someone has an idea. We're going to have another session in the afternoon where we're going to have like 10 to 15 minutes per Workstream 2 item collecting ideas on what needs to be done. Maybe that will help this group get more clarity on how big the tasks are. Take jurisdiction as an example. That's so multifaceted. You can have different sub-teams working on that only. And the same would go for other areas of work. So I think we need to understand collectively what's involved with these tasks for Workstream 2 and then be wise about how we allocate our resources, how we allocate time, how we help our lawyers plan their time in supporting us. We might not need lawyers for all of this, but when we had our call with the lawyers a couple of days back, and you can go read the transcript, they say it will add to cost if we want to do too many things at a time, because they need to have big teams fully up to speed with what we're doing, and that incurs costs. Also, if we crunch our work and force them to work 24/7 during weekends and what have you, that will add to costs. So ideally, after this week, we would like to have an agreement with you where we have a straw man project plan, and we think that we can pretty much tap on what we've done with the CCWG, just thinking out loudly, but that could be first phase of work, regardless of what the topic is create an inventory of what we have already, as we did with the CCWG. Then you would establish requirements of what should go into a report of the sub-team. Then you would put the lawyers to work to help you produce a first draft. Then you would do two feedback loops to get towards the final report. Maybe you want to do a public comment period somewhere in the middle. Maybe you just want to do one at the end. Maybe the group wants to deliver one cohesive report on all Workstream 2 aspects. Maybe we want to throw them out as they get ready to make it easier for the to respond to solicitation of public comment. This is all up to us to define now. But I think we would be well advised to have a straw man to say, okay, you need to come up with your inventory, with your requirements, with the first draft within, let's say, 3 months. Then we're going to have a phase for lawyers to review so that we can phase out the work irrespectively of when it starts in a comparable manner for all these work items and thereby help spread the workload over, let's say, a 12-month period of time or a 15-month period of time. Are there any views on that? So let me just go to my Adobe and see whether there are hands raised. And in fact, there are. There's a big queue forming. Olga, you're first.
Thank you, Thomas. I have many questions, but some comments. I think this different issues in Workstream 2 are very important. The fact that a single group could follow all of them is very improbable. We would focus on different things. So my comment would be, you made a point about having public comments, for example, every now and then. So that would be important to have a vision at a plenary level, say. For example, if some people is focusing in diversity and jurisdiction and then not focusing so much in human rights, it could be good at a point to all of us have a view of what each of the different groups are doing. This is a comment just from my own impression. Sometimes I have seen in this process groups doing some text and then it's written in stone and nobody else can ever put it down. So that for the GAC especially, that we have to consult in capitals and it takes some time, it's very important to have a vision at a plenary level of the different what each group is doing in each of the subjects. Thank you.
Thanks, Olga. Good questions, and it's up for us to find answers. Certainly, not everyone can work on everything, so we need to form sub-teams. And that goes hand-in-hand with the note that Leon sent out yesterday. It goes for the leadership team. We can't possibly work as hands-on as we did for all these topics as we move on. So we need to find caretakers, people that want to take responsibility, maybe jointly with others, on those topics. So next in line is Sebastian.
Thank you, Thomas. First of all, I think it's very important that we do that with taking into account what has already done within ICANN on those topics. That's, for example, jurisdiction. We have already a large amount of documents from the presidential review team to some other discussion within ICANN, then it's important to take that into account and maybe to ask the people who were participating to those discussions at that time who are still participating to the ICANN work to help with bringing to the memory what they have done at that moment. And maybe we can also ask the president at that time who is in this room today to help us with that specifically. The second point is that, subgroup is a must, and I hope that subgroup will be real subgroup, not the same people shooting again in the 7 or 6 or 7 or 8 or whatever subgroup. We need to have here also diversity in each group and diversity in the whole area. The third point is that we need to take into account, for example, what ATRT is doing and what are the current remit of the ATRT. Because maybe we want to change those remits to add them some possible items to do the work. For the moment, it's just
9.1, 9.2, 9.3 on the AOC with the limit of the ART, that's a question we need to take into account. And my fourth point is that do we want to to outsource to another group some work? To take two examples, there is already a human rights working group. Do we want to give them the work, or do we want to have this group embedded within the CCWG framework? And the second, it's, as you say, the Ombudsman is already organizing some consultation on the, what he will do in the future. It is the right way to go? Is it not the CCWG to do this work? I am a little bit puzzled to have the Ombudsman who is working on this, his future work definition. But nevertheless, we need to take that into account. Do we want to ask him to do the work with a group of people, or do we want to take that as in our responsibility and having him included in this working group and not the reverse? So that's a few comments. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. And I suggest we not speculate what the intentions by Chris were for this group. I think we've all been surprised to see the announcement on the list. But I guess it's excellent that he reaches out to the community to discuss maybe what community expectations are. But nonetheless, this is a work stream two area of work for this group and not necessarily only for the Ombudsman himself. Next in line is Tijani.
Thank you, Thomas. As you know, we need to finish the IRP implementation and the bylaw drafting by in 6 months maximum, so that the transition can happen. So I think that this work has the absolute priority. I am not saying that anything about Workstream 2 must be put aside, but at any time and in any case, if we have to choose between those two works, the Workstream 2 completion has the absolute priority. Thank you. Workstream 1, yeah.
Understood, Tijani. Thank you. Next in line is Steve.
Thanks, Thomas. Steve DelBianco with the CSG. In the very beginning of when you introduced this slide, I believe you did mention the ATRT, or Accountability and Transparency Review Team, in the context of some of these Workstream 2 measures. And I wanted to sort of pick at that because I'm guessing that we need to start the next Accountability and Transparency Review Team probably a year from now, beginning of 2017. And it looks to me like on the Workstream 2 items, the last four look as if they address items that are pretty close to the remit of an ATRT. And that could be good, right? It could be a logical way of organizing things. And timing-wise, it might even be fortunate if they were able to get Workstream 2 recommendations through the process so that they could be handed to the next ATRT or seeded into the process. And then on regarding working methods, I realize there's been some discussion on list after Leon circulated an email. And in a normative way of what we should do to organize our work, I would ask us to step back for a minute and be descriptive and remember how we did organize our work 15 months ago, November of 2014. That's when we started. And we started with a bang before there was much staff support, if you recall. And instantly, we had work area 1. Do you remember what we used to call it? Work area 1, work area 2. We did an inventory of all of the comments and quickly distilled where there was the most support for accountability measures that would improve the community. I mean, it's too far back in the archives for anyone to remember, but if you were to dig back to November of 2014, you'll see that we had already started surfacing this idea of IRP and reviewing bylaws and budget. That work occurred without any significant discussion of working methods. And I love working methods, but we actually had a method of just doing the work.
The working method
was get the work done. And there was about 25 folks who volunteered. Staff supported us on a few calls, but we did an awful lot of our initial document prep through emails. And that is why by the middle of December of 2014, we'd already compiled a 7 or 8 page inventory organized by area of accountability. And I realized we've had to build on that substantially since then, building upon it in terms of consensus and details. But a lot of the working methods can be, let's not debate too much about how it is we're going to get it done and spend a little bit more diving in and getting the work started. And those documents, I think, will suggest the working methods that could emerge.
Thanks, Steve. Cavus?
Yes, thank you, Thomas. I have a few points to make, if you allow me. Perhaps I missed the point. One is the timeline of doing this work, taking into account that at the beginning there was no favorable consideration by ICANN board with respect to this work stream too, but finally they agreed to some sort of compromise. So timelines. Then estimation of the required resources. This is what I said before. I want to put it in particular for this work stream too. Then one point that no one has referred to is membership from the chartering organization. Perhaps you ask them whether they retain the same membership or they have a different membership, different blood, different ideas, and so on and so forth. So we have to also look at that one. And working methods, I think that there are some comments about the working method. So we have to review this working method. Another issue is that we have to avoid totally duplications, and we have to use available information, available documents, available practices, and so on and so forth. And we have to also see that to what extent we want to go to the things so deeply or whatever really required. So we have to minimize the number of the things that we have to do. So these are the things that have not been yet discussed and we would like to discuss, in particular estimation of resources for doing this work. Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus. On timeline, there is none at the moment. We know that we need to deliver on Workstream 1. We know that we had in our planning that we would commence work on Workstream 2 as soon as Workstream 1 recommendations are ready. But we need to organize exactly that. So I guess that's the point that hopefully we get more clarity on during this week. Erika?
Thank you so much, Thomas. I have a few points on my list. I think it will be relevant this time that we have maybe from the very early phase a clear understanding about the budget ceiling. Because I think there are three things which will frame probably Workstream 2. So one would be the budget limitations, and we have to have and get an understanding together as early as possible about this. The second is the timing. I think everything we do, we will have to count back from the end point when we want to deliver Workstream 2 results. And the third would be probably the process and how we organize it and legal limitations related to it. So my hope is that we have together that we can identify maybe a process which will make it as easy as possible for everybody engaged to organize their own workload and whatever we have to do, which is already immense, in such a way that it's as easy as possible to follow and to influence the debate and the discussion. And my last point, what coming back to the legal, what I would love us to have a little bit more systematic approach this time with regard to the topics, so that in an ideal, I'm sorry, again, I have to say I'm German, so I apologize for this, for these obvious systematic ways of recommending to have a systematic approach, but that we each time clearly identify the current situation, the current legal situation, and that we then from there expand what we want to achieve. And so that will frame then our debate probably in a more systematic way. Thank you so much.
Erika, it's good to see you trying to be systematic for once. Thanks for that. Next is Ewart.
Okay, Ewart Lisse from .na for the record. I am, from my profession, a firm believer that you cannot avoid your attention when you do important things. It's also difficult to divide responsibilities, but that's a separate measure. We have no time limit as far as Workstream 2 is concerned. We need to deliver Workstream 1, and when that's, and that means the implementation, and when that's done, we can I think then we should start with Workstream 2. Erica, I do not agree with Erica that we should work backwards from a fixed date by when we have to deliver, because the charter, it's clear these items can wait. We can do, I agree with her on one thing, we can do this systematic. We can do one at a time, sort it out, get it done, get it approved, put it in place, and then we can work on the next one. I agree with Steve Del Bianco, we can, but sort of the other way around, it's not that we maybe need to feed in what the ATRT says, maybe we would take what the ATRT team says and take this into our consideration so we don't have so much background. The process that we have done so far suffered a lot from this immense workload and from doing too many things at the same time. I have always advocated that we should do one at a time and do it right. Workstream 2 has no limit on this. We can start with diversity, approve it, write the bylaws, and then we can start with human rights frameworks or whatever, in whatever order we want. No, as long as because it can wait until the transition has happened. So I would really urge strongly to get Workstream 1 totally finished and then start on Workstream 1 and then do this, take one or two topics at a time, not more than that, so that we can do them right, get them done, get them sealed and delivered, and then we start until we have fixed this.
Thanks, Eberhard. I guess that those are the questions that we as a group should try to find answers to. Are we working from a delivery date for one package of Workstream 2 reports, or are we going to roll out those as individual projects? I guess that those are excellent points, and I hope that you will discuss those during the lunch, during the coffee break, so that we can then try to reach agreement on those. Next is Olga, then Jordan, and then Sebastian. Old hand? Okay. But Jordan.
Thanks, Jordan here. I sort of agree and disagree with Eberhard, which is, as usual, I guess.
Well, that would be a first.
No, it's more common than you might think. I, as much as I love working with you all, I won't be all that upset when this group is finished. So I don't think we should necessarily try and spin it out. I also don't think, were there other really clear community-driven processes that are happening? So, like, ATRT would seem possibly a natural home for transparency, staff accountability, SOAC accountability. I don't think that we should hesitate to take an approach that might be something like almost a submission or a set of thoughts about those topic areas being our work output as a transmission, a letter, a submission, if you like, to the ATRT, bringing the CCWG's thoughts on those topics. I don't think we should assume, in other words, that the work output in all of these threads is going to be bylaws changes or something huge and dramatic. And the only other thought I'd offer is that I don't mind if we start this stuff a bit later to allow us to complete Workstream 1, but I don't want us to have an open-ended process, and I don't want us to be using our lawyers as inefficiently and ineffectively as we did at times in the Workstream 1 work. So.
Thanks, Jordan. Sebastian?
Thank you, Thomas. I agree with Jordan that not all the working group will deliver bylaw changes. It might deliver some new way of doing things, and that's not embedded in law, but or in bylaws, but in the way we are working. I think that some of the items, from my point of view, are more important than Workstream 1, but Workstream 1 was a mandatory step to go there because it was for the transition to be done, and that was the time frame. But some of the issues of Workstream 2 are very important for the whole community and for ICANN in general. I really think that SONAC accountability, now that we try to fix the accountability of this organization. We talk about the board and some other part, but not really on each and every SONAC, and that's a topic we need to take into account right now. For the question of the ombudsman also, it's important because we put in the workstream one that the ombudsman will play certain role, and we need to define that, I guess, quite quickly. I'm not saying that we need to rush, but at the same time, we need to have some idea when we want to deliver. And the idea to have some of those work deliver for the next ATRT team could be a good idea to take into account. And as you know, last but not least, or the first year, I really think that diversity must be taken into account, and we need to find a way to have that done. It seems that we need to have some discussions, and if we can handle that all quickly, because it's important for each part of the other work to embed diversity in what we deliver. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. And Roloff.
Thank you very much. In the real world, it's sometimes useful to have competing groups working against each other to see who comes up with a better plan or a better project or things like that. I'm not sure we can afford it or want it here. So things like let's do human rights and have a human rights group working in parallel with us may be self-defeating. On the other hand, it's not clear that we have the right to delegate to some other group and force them to do something. Specifically with the ATRT, when it is convened, the ATRT and the CCWG may want to get together and decide to have an allocation, but we're certainly not in a position to mandate to some future ATRT that they must deliver some work products. So as we go forward, we don't want to replicate a lot, I think, but we have to be very careful in making sure how we do any subdivision, if indeed we do it. Thank you.
Thanks very much,
and
Alan.
I support doing it, but we have to do it carefully.
Thank you. Roloff?
Thanks, Thomas. I think it's crucial that we finish the work on Workstream 1 first before we start working on Workstream 2. And then I kind of agree with Eberhard that there is no real time pressure, and I think we all would agree that some of our work in the first phase suffered sometimes from time constraints. So I would say that we should divide this work in subgroups, but have no more than two or maximum three subgroups working at the same time, and set a deadline just for internal purposes, because we also know that as soon as we moved a deadline forward, we used all the time that we created for ourselves. And this will also happen if we don't set a deadline or set deadlines very far away from us. So I think before a subgroup starts, we should agree on when it delivers its work, just to make sure that we don't consume too much time. But on the other hand, I don't think it would be good if we have all the subgroups working on all the themes at the same time. That's just putting a lot of pressure on ourselves, and it's not necessary, and it will have a negative influence on the quality.
Thanks very much, Olaf. So the queue is clear. Jan?
Sorry, I said you must stop agreeing with me.
Jan Scholte, sorry, I'm having trouble with the OP list. But I'm just reminding, it's not necessarily to say this is right, but I'm just reminding that at earlier stages of these discussions, people said there should be a 12-month limit on Workstream 2 in order to make sure that the issues were addressed and that they were given a seriousness and not strung out and let go on for ages and ages because they had an urgency to them that they need to be addressed with the same kind of priority as some of the Workstream 1 issues. Not saying that we have to, that we can't change that position, but I think that was the agreement at an earlier time. The other, and this is not special pleading in my own direction because I'm not necessarily signing up for this, but I think a number of these Workstream 2 issues are ones where some advice from people with experience from other settings could be helpful. So, for example, on the human rights framework, there's been a lot of work on incorporating human rights into other global governance frameworks, and there's no need for this group to invent things that other people have spent years already developing in other settings. So I think on things like human rights, transparency, SOAC accountability, there's a lot of expertise outside there that could be helpful here. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Jan-Aad. That's very helpful. We are still ahead of time, and I think the ideas that some of you have shared with us, with the group, are great. What we suggest doing is break for coffee now. Do a 30-minute coffee break instead of 15 minutes, and ask all of you to discuss these questions so that we can come to an agreement in this group on some basic questions, such as, do we want a joint delivery date for all the work area two items? Are we going to work sequentially? Are we going to work in parallel on some of these items? Eberhard, your hand is up.
Can we have a two-hour coffee break and then report back to chair?
I second the proposition.
So, please also discuss whether you want count backwards from a delivery date, whether we are going to start working on Workstream 2 items now in parallel with the implementation of Workstream 2, or, as suggested by Rolf, pause starting working on Workstream 2 until we have finished Workstream 1. These are fundamental things that we should try to get an agreement on as a group. And before we break for lunch, for coffee, there's breaking news. Some of you have read it in the chat already. ASO has sent its approval letter. So let's give them a round of applause. And we will reconvene at 10:30 for the remote participants. Thank you for being with us, and talk to you soon again. Thanks, everyone, for taking your seats. And this thanks is limited to those who took their seats. Can we get the recording started again, please?
Recording's having started.
So actually, I'm Leon Sanchez for the transcript now, which is good, so I can say nasty things. Okay, so we would like to reconvene our discussion on how to conduct our Workstream 2 work. We had started our discussion on this before the coffee break, and we got some very good questions and suggestions from you. Ideally, we would like to take stock and get answers out of this group that we can record on how we're going to go about with Workstream 2. Nonetheless, we think that we should offer more information to this group on how we could use other working methods that have been deployed in the ICANN community previously on ATRT, on design teams by the CWG. So why reinvent the wheel if we have things that we can build on? And in order to give us some insight on what can be found in terms of working approaches in the ICANN world, we have invited three ladies to the table whom all of you know. It's Larissa, Margie, and Glenn. Karen. And Larissa, you will go first, won't you? And Grace has also joined, so we're going to hear from them. And after that, we're going to discuss and see how much of their insights we can incorporate into our thinking. So over to you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Larissa Gernick, Director of Strategic Initiatives, or Multi-Stakeholder Strategy and Strategic Initiatives Department, working with Teresa and Margie and others. My involvement and the reason that I'm excited to be talking to all of you today had started with ATRT 2. So I was one of the staff facilitators for that process, and since then I've done several other review-related activities, specifically the GNSO review and kicking off the at-large review. So my frame of reference comes from both AOC reviews as well as organizational reviews. So I thought that we would start by sharing some lessons learned, information that we've observed through the review process, ATRT2, and the various other reviews, areas that might be useful for all of you to consider as you're tackling these topics. So to start, the topics that are outlined in Workstream 2 are really the essence of continuous improvement in accountability and transparency. And from our view, that work does not have an end point. So it's continuous improvement because we're always striving to get better. And that in itself is not a project. It's a mission, if you will. Having said that, how we do that really contains discrete projects, such as implementation work from ATRT2 and various other projects that tend to have a direct scope, a start, a middle, and a finish. So that's an important consideration, that while improvements are ongoing, the way we get there is through discrete projects and tasks that that end, and then it's important to evaluate to what extent that work has been effective. So additionally, as we learned from ATRT2 and other reviews, it would be very helpful to have a shared understanding between the board, community, and staff of what exactly the desired outcome should be and how to measure whether that outcome is being accomplished. A good example of how that's being implemented as a process improvement as we speak is in the work of the GNSO Review Working Party, who went through a very extensive process of analyzing recommendations, prioritizing them, considering feasibility, and has generously committed to volunteer their time to work with staff to define what a successful outcome would be, or at least how we should think about what the successful outcome will be before the implementation process gets kicked off. I also think it's helpful to consider what constitutes a useful recommendation, and there's certain parameters that we look at as a measure of a recommendation that can proceed successfully through the process. Clarity being at the top of the list. Is it clear from everyone's perspective what the intention of the recommendation or the initiative is? Another attribute is prioritization. As I mentioned, the GNSO Review Working Party is applying that as we speak, and that's really useful to understand in order of priorities what is more important than other things, given that resources are limited. Actionable, is the recommendation something that can be acted upon, where project plans and timelines and action items and deliverables can be decked against the recommendation, as well as measurable, because another important lesson learned certainly is that in order for improvements and implementation work to have the buy-in from everybody that pitches in to do the work, there has to be some direct and clear outcomes that can be quantified and communicated to the community. In order for that to take place, the recommendation itself has to be measurable. There has to be a way to measure whether it's being successful or not down the line. And of course, another attribute of a successful recommendation is one that considers resources. And by resources, I certainly mean hard dollars required to implement, as well as volunteer time, as well as staff time, so all resources combined. So that, I would say, that highlights the important lessons learned as we look at the future of this work. A couple of questions came to mind that I'd like to share with you and see if perhaps these questions would be something that would be helpful for you to consider. One is, how should a shared understanding of what constitutes a successful outcome be reached? So thoughts and ideas on how to frame that would be very helpful. And another one is what frameworks or tools would be useful for framing the desired outcomes. How should the various teams, including Workstream 2, look at that and define what constitutes a successful outcome so that it can be measured and can be implemented? So I know that you had discussion before the break about how all this relates to various other work, and specifically ATRT3. So I think it may be helpful to bring up on the screen the next slide, please. So this is a picture that you probably have seen and will see a great deal of throughout this meeting. It's a bit of a busy slide, but what you see kind of in the middle of it is ATRT3, which is scheduled to kick off in January of 2017. And, of course, everything else that you see on this slide, the blue is the AOC-mandated reviews, and the orange is the organizational reviews that are mandated by the bylaws. And this is the current schedule. So it's a busy schedule indeed on top of the GNSO, the second GNSO review still wrapping up, CCT being having just started an at-large review about to get kicked off in April. So with this in mind, the process would be that ATRT3 would get kicked off in January 2017, and it would start with a call for volunteers, similar process that transpired for CCT just recently. So there would be an outreach, a broad outreach to get people interested in participating in the review, collect the applications, and go through the process of selecting the review team, which generally takes 3 to 4 months until the review team has been appointed. And then the review team spends time on planning out their work, and that generally takes a month or two, and then the work begins. We've been using a framework of a 12-month review process as a starting point, so the review from the time that it gets kicked off, from the time that the review team is assembled, generally would last for a period of 12 months. When the review is finished, final report and recommendations are issued, and according to the AOC mandate as it stands currently, the board has up to 6 months to take action on the recommendations, which also means that after the final recommendations are published, there's also a public comment period that goes out for the community to offer another opportunity to provide feedback on the final recommendations. And this is in addition to at least one or two other rounds of community feedback through public comments and various other interactions that the review team would normally have with the community throughout the review process. Once the board takes action on the recommendations, then the implementation work begins. And one of the process improvements that we've been discussing for the past year or so is to have some continuity from the review team, several members of the review team to participate with staff and board in the framing of the implementation work, the projects for implementation, to ensure clarity, to ensure that shared understanding, and to help get started with the implementation such that it takes care of the intent of the recommendations. So I will pause at this point and let my colleagues add whatever I may have missed.
Hello, this is Margie Mayal. I'm a senior director in the department with Larissa. I'm responsible for the AOC reviews generally, and in particular I'm leading off the CCT review right now. One of the things you might want to think about as we look at what's going on with the CCT review is that there was a lot of preparation work that went in before the CCT review team actually kicked off. And for the last 2 years or so, as many of you have been involved, there was a concerted community effort in identifying what issues they wanted to be addressed in the review team so that there would be sufficient metrics and data that would support the review team effort. So even though we've just kicked off the process, we've convened the review team for the very first time, they had their face-to-face meeting in February, they're starting their work with a tremendous amount of data and information and issues to address, and that's something that was, came from the community. And as you think about what you can do in terms of some of the issues that are crossover between what you're looking at and what could be looked at in ATRT3, you might think about that as helping feed into the preparation process for the ATRT3. And so I just thought that would be something for you to think about. And also, Karen on my right is going to be responsible for the SSR2 review team. And so, Karen, I don't know if you want to share some of the preparation you're doing for that.
Okay, good morning. Karen Mulberry. I'm a director of strategic initiatives. And one of my key responsibilities right now is kind of doing the preparation for the SSR2 review, looking at what has happened in the first SSR review, the recommendations, where we stand with implementation, and then using that as kind of a guide for how I, want to frame what needs to happen in terms of pre-planning for, in essence, my timeline. We're going to announce a call for volunteers in June, and what does that mean? And then from there, hopefully, all of you will consider volunteering and then tying into some of the work that the CCWG has done on security and stability of the DNS into the work of that review team.
Thank you so much. Any clarifying questions on that presentation? So we have a queue forming. Erica, is that an old hand or a new hand? Old hand? No worries. Roloff, that was an old hand too, right? Sebastian.
That's a new hand, even if I have old hands. It's a clarifying question. In the work of the CCWG, we talk about those reviews and we discuss about some new framework or new timeline for those reviews. Does it change something in this presentation if we take them into account for the future? Thank you.
Larissa.
So the scheduling that you see, the slide, is based on the current mandate. As you may recall, in last year there was a board action and a resolution in July that in response to communities' concern about bandwidth and a very busy schedule, some of the reviews had been pushed out. So what you see here is the schedule as it's currently mandated by the AOC as well as by the organizational reviews, certainly with the recognition that as the work of CCWG continues, that may have an impact on the schedule, but at the current moment, based on the current mandates, this is the schedule that we're looking at. Does that address your question, Sebastian?
I guess it will be interesting to take into account the inputs of the CCWG and to see what change will it bring to this schedule, because I guess we talk about not doing it each 3 years, but each 5 years, and we talk about who will be selecting and when it will be done. Then there is some ongoing work, even if we are not yet with the new bylaws. We need to take that into account, at least to show what will be the difference between the current situation with the hoping future one, because it depends on the vote of ASO and AC during this meeting. But if we take as it will be done, how it will be done. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. Cavus?
Yes, thank you very much for the presentations. I agree in many areas of what you said. For instance, improvement, you can improve for other. In one some years ago, one top-level world economic says that I am a developing country. When you ask him that you are developing, yes, because every day I developed. So that's all. You cannot exclude me from developing country. It was one of the most developed countries. Says so. Improvement, enhance, and all of these things is continued things. One thing that I said, I once again repeat it here, we should avoid any duplications. That is one of the important issues. And second, we should look at the resources. We don't have unlimited resources. Resources are very limited. Excuse me to say that ICANN was very generous. ICANN board putting so much energy and so much money on the first work stream. It may not be available for the second one, so there is a limitation. But third and most important is that there are ongoing activities that they will go and they will improve the situation. We do not need to repeat that. However, if at the work stream two, we find that there are areas need more, let us say, improvement or something that missing or some shortcoming, and if we are able to identify and after listening to the reasoning given that still it is a shortcoming, then we have to put the finger on that. Otherwise, we should avoid anything as ongoing activities and so on. So we should concentrate on those things. We are not in the ongoing activities. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cavus. I guess I'd like to highlight two points that you made. Avoid duplication and be careful of resources. And I think that's something we need to take to heart when discussing how we move on. Steve.
Thanks. Steve Del Bianco. Sebastian asked about the impact of the bylaws changes we would make per Recommendation 9. Recommendation 9 regards the affirmation of commitments reviews. And I think Sebastian gets to a key distinction. If in fact, those bylaws for AOC are nearly done, I think the lawyers did them first, we could have those bubble up through our process of CCWG review long before SSR begins in June, potentially. We did call for four major areas where the AOC reviews were changed. The first, as Sebastian indicated, is a five-year interval instead of a three, right? And that may, I know the board has already delayed by 1 year, but it may make it possible that if those bylaws are taken into account, are respected by that, there could be a delay of as much a year on something like an SSR2. And if, in fact, that would benefit the community overload and volunteer burnout, as well as staff burnout, let me be sensitive to that, then we could consider that. So this is a parallel track, and let's be flexible about where we are in those bylaws, because if they're ready, they would give you the opportunity to delay one review or two review for as much as a year. The second is the review teams are opened up to accommodate more from each AC and SO, so up to 21, not a fixed number of 21, but up to 21. That's a small increase from where you ended up on the current review. I think you're at 17. Another is document access. We've written an entire paragraph how each AOC team, particularly ATRT, would have access to internal ICANN documents that it can use in doing its ATRT work without publishing the actual documents outside of the review team. And then finally, there's some new parameters. ATRT, we've added two or three small areas in which their scope is different from what the affirmation in 2009 was. So you're all aware of that, right, what the changes are. It's real easy to see if Recommendation 9, I can focus you on that. And as you're doing your scheduling, it's so key to understand where we are, because if we're close to having those bylaws ready to go and they could be adopted at about the same time you're about to start, it's great if you can start early, but you may have the opportunity to delay for up to a year.
Thanks, Steve. Olivier?
Thanks. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. In the previous cycle of reviews, SSR and WHOIS took place before ATRT2, and that enabled ATRT2 to review the implementation effectiveness of the previous two reviews. Now that they're working together or concurrently, does this mean that ATRT3 will not be reviewing the implementation of SSR2 and WHOIS2?
Thomas, I could answer that. One of the changes in the AOC is that each team, Olivier, reviews the implementation of its prior team's recommendations. Instead of saddling one team, the ATRT, to do all of the four threads,
We have made that change in Recommendation 9. So if that's approved this week, as we hope it will be, then each team will look at the prior review as opposed to jamming it all on ATRT.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, by the way, because ATRT2 was overstretched in what it had to do.
Thanks, Olivier. I think we should, it's an interesting discussion, but we shouldn't go back too much in history to see what happened during the previous reviews. But I guess the question for us now is whether our group would like to link our work to the upcoming ATRT effort. As previously stated, there had been some concerns that referring work on some of the Workstream 2 items would mean to put important items on the back burner, which certainly we don't want to do. Yet we need to ensure that we don't duplicate efforts and that we're sensitive to spending resources and volunteer time. So can we hear some views on what you think about, you know, linking our efforts to ATRT3 efforts? That's something that this group would be open to, or are there concerns with it? I see Eberhard's hand is up. Cavus, you wanted to speak too. Olivier, I think that's an old hand, right? So let's hear some views and then try to take stock. Eberhard.
My question is, and I don't have a concern really, do we wait for ATRT to finish, or do we give it to the ATRT, or which way? My view is we should basically finish Workstream 1 and then choose one or two items that we can do and get them to the end. So if we know the ATRT time is going to take some time, then we can say, look, we can agree on waiting for what they come up with and then discuss it and make our own decision. If it will take time for them, then we can give them our baseline as a base to work from. But in the end, we have to make the decision for our group, not the ATRT team can make a decision.
I guess that's an excellent point, Eberhard, and I guess that's exactly what we need to get clarity on, and I hope that we get this clarity as a group on how we want to go about with it. Do we want to feed and inform the work of the ATRT, which is only going to start in a couple of months' time, or are we going to let them do their thing, analyze the outcome, and see what needs to be added? So there are multi ways of potentially approaching this. Eberhard, you have a follow-up?
Or both.
Or both. That's for us to decide. Cavus, please.
Yes, in my view, we don't need to feed ATRT. We should refer to the ATRT. It is a mechanism. It has started to work. It's good mechanism. The third one will start. Should we identify any shortcoming, we have to highlight that shortcoming. But we should not be a group feeding ATRT. We should not be a subgroup of ATRT or a boss of the ATRT. ATRT is ATRT. The only thing we identify whether there is any shortcoming, and we have to refer to that one. Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus. Maybe feeding sounds like spoon feeding or a little bit too negative. What I meant, just by way of clarification, is that our group could establish requirements for improvements in the respective areas that should be taken into account and further worked on by the ATRT. Ellen is next.
Thank you. ATRT 2-3 is going to start roughly 10 months from now or 22 months from now, depending on that, or somewhere in between, depending on which schedule we adhere to. If that group was convened and we could be talking to them, I think it would be easy to decide whether something gets transferred to them or not. To transfer to a group that's not going to exist for a year, that may have things on their schedule which are higher priority, I mean, the ATRTs face an, I won't say infinite, but a large list of things that they can work on and have to pick and choose. They may or may not have the focus and desire to work on the specific item that is on our list. So I don't think we can simply say we will transfer to them whenever they get around to it. If our timing is such that it is still on our table when they're coming closer to being formed, we can make a decision at that time. To make the decision today, I think, makes no sense whatsoever. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Alan. Avery, so we see that folks are queuing that have some experience in ATRT. That's very good, right? Avery, please.
Thank you. Ari speaking. I have concern about trying to mix the work of ATRT-3 with the work that is necessary for Workstream 2, largely because the ATRT is an evaluation group. It's looking at the report from ATRT-2. It's looking at how the changes have been accepted, how they've been implemented. It's then doing a certain amount of review on the current state of accountability and transparency and making recommendations. That's an essentially different work basket than Workstream 2's work basket of we need to create these things, we need to create those. So while there may be some interaction between them, I actually see them as doing very different tasks. One is reviewing, whereas one is creating new structures, new requirements, new things to be reviewed in the future. So I'd be very careful about moving the work out of Workstream 2 and putting it on the next ATRT. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Avery. Sebastian, and I would like to close the queue on this very question after Cavus.
Thank you, Thomas. Sebastian Bachore. My consideration was how we can have work done who can be useful for the ATRT-3. Not too much that we will ask them to do something, but they can, if they will, have the output of our working group ready to be taken into account. It's why I think it could take us to some agenda or schedule to take this work done prior or in priority or taking into account the fact that ATRT-3 will be at the beginning of next year. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. Cheryl.
Thank you, Cheryl Langdonell, for the transcript record. Perhaps it's the perspective of someone who served in ATRT-1 and only had a watching brief in ATRT-2, but I think very much as Margie outlined the valuable and contributory groundwork that was being done over the last several years for the Consumer Trust and Choice Review Team. Whilst at no point did we say, thou shalt, review team, take this and do whatever with it, it was obvious by any sort of reasonable project management that it would be valuable to have this available well in advance of that review team starting. And I think that's exactly what we could look towards doing in this circumstance. So whilst it is not being prescriptive or oversight or defining what the ATRT-3 will do, and I'll remind you, ATRT-1 did have very specific questions that it had to, from the get-go, look at and review, not go back and look at what previous reviews had done. So we do have two distinct ways of managing even those, that specific project. So I think there is opportunity for us to have some preparatory activity which will be of great value for ATRT-3, and I don't think we should lose that opportunity.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. Larissa?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. as far as ATRT-3, and for that matter, any of the second cycle of the reviews would have been different, certainly for ATRT-1, as Cheryl indicated, but all the other second cycles generally start with an assessment of prior review teams' recommendations to see how those recommendations have been implemented and to what extent the outcome was effective, and it's looking at the current state at that time based on whatever else may have occurred of significance in the environment. So for ATRT-3, as an example, it would be looking at ATRT-2 recommendations and looking at the accountability and transparency landscape that and how it has changed since ATRT-2, pretty clear how significant this effort is to that consideration. So that is a part of the standard process. And as a matter of fact, one of the suggestions from ATRT to one of the recommendations to make the future AOC reviews more effective was focused on how to get that analysis more timely, more measured, more indicative of progress and constraints and challenges encountered in the implementation to really help the effort of the next ATRT team with their starting point. So I just wanted to flag that as well. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Larissa. Cavus?
Yes, perhaps it is difficult to agree with those colleagues mentioning that ATRT3 is just dealing with the ATRT2. No, ATRT is for accountability and transparency. It is not only limited to checking the previous one, to look into the accountability and transparency. I don't think that CCWG is here to create the job for itself, parallel in what is going on already. So we have to indicate if there is any shortcoming, indicate that and leave it. That should be implemented in a way that we do not. We should concentrate on something for which there is no mechanism available. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cavus. And now it's the time for us to try to take stock on this very question. You know, what linkages could be with the ATRT effort that's coming up? And Mathieu has volunteered to take a first shot at that.
So my understanding of the conversation and arguments is that, and it's going to be a surprise, ATRT3 has not started, and there will be a point in time where it will start. So far, I think everyone is in line. And until then, let's not make assumptions about this future exercise. Let's, however, be aware that it will take place, and we can advance our work as we see fit. And keep in mind that as soon as ATRT3 is convened, there will be a very important liaison to establish and coordination to establish to avoid any duplication of efforts and to optimize resource management, including volunteer time. And I'm stressing the volunteer time as what I think is a very scarce resource. And I have no doubt that whatever we will produce until then as a group will be useful and used by ATRT3, and the other way around if that comes to mind. But certainly it would be premature to assume that ATRT3 is going to take a specific part of Workstream 2 or anything else, but we need to be aware of this precise point in time where we'll have to liaise with ATRT3 to synchronize. That would be my takeaway from this conversation, Thomas.
Thank you very much, Mathieu. Let's see whether there are any objections to this proposed way forward. I see Jonathan Zook's hands is up, so Jonathan.
And I don't have an objection to that way forward per se. I just a general observation that just as many now regret the notion of a round when it comes to new GTLDs, I believe this group will come to regret the incredible solidification of Workstream 2, because I think initially it was regarded as something that was going to be more abstract and take place almost indefinitely, and it's about identifying what the mechanisms for ongoing reform are going to be. And I think that ATRT is one of those mechanisms, and that the degree to which it can begin to play that role as an ongoing reformer of the organization is a good one, and it shouldn't be thought of as passing, you know, things over the transom for them to consider, et cetera. At some point, they will have a distinct role in the ongoing reform of the organization, and that's in large measure what Workstream 2 is really about. And so I think it is appropriate for them to have domains of decisional quality or recommendations that would be made that would otherwise be made by this group that was always meant to be temporary.
Thanks very much, Jonathan. Cavus, you've raised your hand.
Yes, I agree with Mathieu, provided that we put some qualifier to what he said. Should CCWG, during the Workstream 2, identify any area in which the ATRT activities must be emphasized on particular issues to improvement, they will take that on. Put in a conditional way, but not a normal way that we always try to do or take up any action in parallel what they do. Should we find anything, we will take that and bring it to the attention. That is what I understand as coordination, but not doing the same job and saying that this is what we do, please see whether it is okay or not. Thank you.
Thanks, Cavus. I guess that's common understanding on your remarks, so that's a good clarification. Any other concerns? That doesn't seem to be the case. So it looks like we have a way forward on how our group and the ATRT work is going to be interlinked or, you know, related. And at that point, you know, you're certainly welcome to stay here for the rest of the session. You can stay at this table if you want to, but let me just use the opportunity to thank you, and let's give them a round of applause for great. What we would like to do now is actually get back to the questions that we started discussing earlier and try to structure them a little bit and go through them one by one so that we can get some basic pillars of our work confirmed by this group. Can I ask staff to bring up the questions that we've collected during the coffee break? Or would you rather? You know, it's of no consequence. We can, you know, we've already answered one, and that is the linkage to ATRT. The first question that I would like to ask is whether we should only start the work on Workstream 2 after Workstream 1 implementation has been finalized. That was a suggestion that's been brought up. So can we hear some views on that? It is my impression that some of you have favored starting with Workstream 2 work more or less instantly so that we get on the record making progress on these important items. We've always mentioned that we would not deprioritize Workstream 2 items. So are there any views on that? Sebastian has raised his hand. Sebastian?
Yes, thank you, Thomas. I think the way you present the Workstream 2.1 workload is decreasing the load for a lot of us, not for all of us, but for a lot of us. And maybe this time can be allocated to start the Workstream 2 now. And it's important that to repeat what Ian say earlier in this meeting, that we commit to do something in a one-year period. I guess it will be maybe extended, but the Workstream 2 is part of the transition, even if we don't need it for the decision of the U.S. government. We need it for ICANN. Then, I think that we need to start as soon as possible, but not rushing, but doing it quietly, ordinarily, but doing it now. Thank you.
Okay, we haven't yet asked the question on how we're going to structure the Workstream 2 work. This was only a question on shall we wait until Workstream 1 implementation is over. I hear a signal from you that you would not like us to wait until Workstream 1 implementation is over. Maybe we're going to hear a cue to argue to agree. So let me ask the question: Are there any objections to initiating the work on Workstream 2 before Workstream 1 implementation is finalized? So Eberhard, that's an objection, or do you want to speak? So we have to go through the queue. Cavus is next.
Not objections, but we should not start Workstream 2 except areas that there is a extreme or major commitment in Workstream 1, for instance, starting with the human rights. This is one of the very, very delicate issue that we have hours and days and months of discussions and perhaps, but not the whole thing. We have to make a pause between many areas, but some of things I have no objection to start. It is better to wait a little bit up to mid-April, but not immediately from this round. But if you want to start, we have to start on something which have a extreme commitment, and that was the human right number one and jurisdiction number two. Thank you.
Thanks, Kavuz. Just to be clear, this is a very binary question. Shall we wait until Workstream 1 implementation is over and only then start Workstream 2? We're not discussing what to prioritize, how to prioritize, whether we're going to work in parallel or sequentially. So this is quite a binary question. So let's try to get that. I put you in the queue. Andrew, Steve is next. Andrew, Eberhard. Okay, so...
Thank you, Steve Del Bianco, CSG. Thomas, to answer your question, I think it's a function of what the community members most concerned with those topics feel is necessary to move the ball down the field on those issues. I just want to remind everyone that Workstream 1 and 2 in our charter were described as things that would happen prior to and after the transition. And 14 months ago, we as a CTWG adopted a rationale that said Workstream 1 items are those for which we needed the leverage of the transition to get the corporation and board to agree to rather dramatic improvements in accountability for the community. And anything else that didn't need that leverage could be deferred to Workstream 2. That rationale has served us well so far because we've discovered certain issues that the board and legal team were uncomfortable with, and we've been able to work that out in Workstream 1 while the leverage is still there. However, there were other items that got bumped to Workstream 2 in the process of discussing. For instance, we would talk about transparency, human rights, and jurisdiction, and suggested that those weren't items that needed the leverage of the transition to extract concessions from the corporation and its legal team. Instead, they were items that the community needs to work on as a whole. So if the members of the community who reluctantly agreed to move certain transparency, human rights, and jurisdiction into Workstream 2, if those people are in the room today, this is an opportunity for them to say, no, they are satisfied with waiting until Workstream 1 is over, or do they wish to have a parallel process to begin a discussion of, say, human rights, while it is something that is pressing for them and that they want to begin right away. So Thomas, honestly, it's really up to the CCWG community members to indicate whether they think they can wait on something that's pressing for them or not. But I think we've solved our dilemma over leverage between Workstream 1 and 2. We have the things that we needed to get into Workstream 1 are already there.
And obviously there's a huge interest to speak to that, I guess, from those that are interested in the subject areas. I wouldn't have expected that to be such a discussion, whether we start now or later, but let's hear the views. That's what we're here for. Next in line is Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew Sullivan. This is really a clarifying question because the fact is I don't know how to answer your question because it seems to me that the Workstream 1 stuff is on the critical path. Like either that stuff gets done or the transition doesn't happen and we've got this limited window. So what I'm trying to understand is how you do this in parallel and keep enough energy to actually get Workstream 1 done on time. I am most concerned, I think maybe people have figured out by now, that I'm most concerned about getting the transition done on time, and that is really the question that I'd like answered. How do we ensure that energy is kept there so that the things happen, so that we get things completed? And if you have an idea about that, because I haven't figured it out from the conversation so far today, then that would help me sort of say, oh yeah, then do this in parallel or whatever, but I want to make sure that the necessary things happen. Thanks.
Sure. Andrew, let me try and answer. Getting Workstream 1 implemented so that the transition can take place according to our charter is our highest priority. At the same time, we said that we need to sequence our work in order to accommodate Workstream 1 and make the transition happen, but that doesn't mean that topics that we've now put on the list for Workstream 2 are of less importance. less importance. And therefore, it's a question that we want to raise with the group, whether the group thinks it can find resources to work on those items in parallel. So if there are, as Steve said, if those that are interested in Workstream 2 items can be a different set of people, we need to do new calls for volunteers for these exercises. So if our CCWG, as the coordinating body, if you wish, thinks that we can pull off taking on extra work before the implementation of Workstream 1 is over, then we wouldn't want to stand in the way. But we think that our group needs to take this decision. Do we have a follow-up?
Yeah, well, it's really, maybe I wasn't, probably I wasn't clear enough because that's usually the case. I guess what I'm trying to say is, how do you make sure that if the energy moves to Workstream 2 items, which are, you know, there's all kinds of sexy fun things there, whereas, like, implementation is kind of dull, right? And so what I'm worried about is that people get interested in hot things that allow them to, you know, have a lot of conversations about complicated problems like human rights, whereas we don't just, you know, do the hard slogging thing of making sure the other stuff happens. And I'm trying to understand how this group ensures that the energy doesn't all get sucked out from the implementation thing, which could be fatal for what I regard as the main goal. That was really the force that I'm trying to ask.
Certainly I can't speak to the effect that hot things coming by might have on people in this team, but certainly there's a strong co-chair commitment that Workstream 1 and Workstream 1 implementation is the highest priority. So we will do what we have to do in order to navigate the group's energy towards delivering on that task. That's priority number one. So next in line is Eberhard.
Eberhard Lister.na. So now I find myself in the strange position of supporting implementation. I think your question is not binary. It's not whether we must wait until implementation is done, until we must wait until the work that we need to do for implementation is done. When whatever happens, how the bylaws are then runs for whatever administrative things with the Attorney General of the state, whether must be filed or something, is not something that. I think we should concentrate on the important things while they're important, get it done right, and then move on to the next thing. Since I'm the proposer of this initially, that's what I'm saying. We don't have to wait until it's implemented. I think we have to wait until the work is done, or the majority of the work is done, and we are happy. Okay, the rest is just sorting out the casualties.
Thanks, Eberhard. The way I asked the question, the answer would be binary. You're coming up with a different suggestion, and that is make it dependent on the work, and I'm not opposing to that. But I wanted to get the question of, you know, are we by all means waiting until Workstream 1 implementation is over off the table? I guess that there's a preference in the group not to wait until Workstream 1 implementation is entirely over, and then we need to talk about the variations, and one of that could be the suggestion that you just made. Next in line is Roloff.
Thank you, Thomas. Well, first of all, it's refreshing to hear somebody from the legal profession say that this is a binary question. I thought that only engineers like me thought life was so simple. And Eberhard, however can we continue to disagree with you if you say sensible things like we should focus on the important matters?
I will think about that.
But that said, I am not in favor of doing two things at the same time here. I think we will have our hands full with the implementation. I think we will have our hands full also in our other ICANN-related jobs. With the transition, and I think it's far better to wait until the transition is over before we start working on Workstream 2. Also because I think it's quite thinkable that in the transition there will be some effects that will influence our work on Workstream 2, maybe even reduce the work that we have to do on Workstream 2.
Thanks very much, Roloff. This is actually a quite interesting debate, and to see how it evolves is fascinating. Next in line is Jan.
Okay, yeah, hi, Jan Scholte. I guess when one starts is open. The bigger question, I think, for many people on the Workstream 2 side of things is that it is not something that goes on for a long time, that it's something that's treated as urgent and that it's done within 12 months. That's what a lot of people, why Workstream 2 came up, because people were not happy with the earlier proposals, and then they agreed for these things to be deferred, but on the understanding that it was going to be addressed within a reasonably short time. Now, if that short time starts now, and one interprets the transition being finished in terms of the CCWG Workstream 1 work is done, the proposal is done, or whether one says the 12-month start in whenever, September, or whenever the implementation might be done, that may not be so important to the people on the Workstream 2 side. My sense is what's important to them is that it's a 12-month sort of window and that the issues are dealt with in that time and that it's not put into the long grass. Could it start now? Well, it maybe could start now if two things are met. One, if as was said before, it doesn't by Andrew, it doesn't distract from the implementation schedule. So, if it's two different sets of people and they're not actually, then it's not actually an issue. The other thing is, are the people who are on the implementation teams, are they unhappy to be excluded from the Workstream 2 work if it is starting now? Now, if that's the case, then that's also a reason to stop. But if there's no conflict between Workstream 1 and Workstream 2 work, and no one is unhappy in the implementation teams not to be involved in Workstream 2, then one could start now. I'm not saying that's my view, but it seems to me then it's not a problem.
Thanks for sharing not your view with us. Cavus?
Thomas, we need to have all good reasons why we should start Workstream 2. If we don't have that convincing reason, we should not start. The reason would be that the whole issue of the transition, stewardship from one government to the multi-stakeholder, accompanied with the Workstream 1 accountability, if that work was not accepted or will not be accepted, why we need to start Workstream 2? On what ground? And we don't know what will be the reaction, whether if the report is not accepted, whether they say dorming or saying that we don't accept at all and we continue to do the whole things by the U.S. government. So we have to wait until that replies come. So why we would like to invest on Workstream 2 without knowing what will happen in the Workstream 1? If you want to do that, you should have all good reasons to do that. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cavus. Tijani?
Thank you, Thomas. You asked a binary question that needs a binary answer. My answer would be no. I don't want it to be parallel. And I will tell you why. And on Workstream 2, there is a very sensitive question, very sensitive issues that everyone will be discussing. And I am afraid that people will be, more biased to work on this issue and don't discuss issues about Workstream 1. And when we come to decide on Workstream 1 final decision, they will oppose and the discussion will be opened again and will be late. So please try to finish this work. We have only 6 months. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tijani. And maybe it didn't get noticed, but I had closed the queue after Avery, since we haven't heard Athena today, I will now close the queue after Athena, but I would like to ask you to keep your statements brief. Next in line is Avery, I think.
Thank you. I guess I'm going to say that in terms of starting the Workstream 2, I think there needs to be a continuity between the two. I don't think that going for 6 months of discontinuity while we just focus on Workstream 1 would be helpful to the Workstream 2 work. I do think, though, that we should slow start it and that we should be doing the background work and the research and the what have you that needs to be done so that when the implementation has actually been approved and gone ahead, that that work can start in earnest and not be, oh, we haven't done anything for a while, now let's start thinking about work stream two. I think that discontinuity would be bad for it. While talking, I also do not think it should be strictly time-bounded. It should be content-bounded, but not time-bounded, because one of the problems we've had in Workstream 1 is we have been driven on a schedule that we have managed to slip innumerable times. And that's partially because, you know, multi-stakeholder agreements and large consensus are hard to drive to a specific schedule. Workstream 1 needed to do that. Workstream 2 does not need to do that. We should bound the work. We should work on strict scope, but I don't think we should do the time banding in quite the same way. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Avery. Sebastian?
Yes, I think we can start setting up the work party for the Workstream 2 quite now or after this meeting in a few weeks. And as Avery said, we need to do some background work. We don't need to start by having two calls each week for each item next week. And when some people say that, yes, we need to start now, it's not to say that we need to start at full speed, but we need to really start the implementation of the works, how we will work for the works in two, whether the teams and so on and so forth. And it will take some time. And I guess real work we start when we will have done with the Workstream 1 implementation by this working group. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. And last in queue is Athena.
Yes, thank you very much. And sorry, I didn't realize that the queue was close. So I'm very much in line with those that already suggested to finalize our work in Workstream 1 first and then go on with Workstream 2. I'm just, however, I would like to understand whether there is a particular reason to rush to Workstream 2. And I heard Avery's point about the continuity. I just have the feeling that since Workstream 2 hasn't started yet, I don't see the discontinuity. It will just start once Workstream 1, our work in Workstream 1 is finalized, and then we can start. So if there is another reason if there is not a reason to rush for Workstream 2, I would also suggest to first finalize our work in Workstream 1 and then start Workstream 2. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Athena. So I think we now have a good overview of the temperature in the room on what you would like to do. And so it's cold in here. And Mathieu, as with the last question, would try to make an attempt on taking stock and so that we can move forward.
So we've heard different views, but I think a middle ground is sort of emerging if we say that, number one, the Workstream 1 discussions have the highest priority. There is no question about it. And in any agenda setting at the CCWG level or in terms of volunteer time, that needs to be our continued focus until the INI stewardship transition can take place. And that must be renewed and renewed and renewed. And obviously, I think we got that message quite clearly at the co-chair level. Secondly, I think there is nothing that prevents us from slow starting Workstream 2, and that is actually important to many stakeholders who made clear that their support to our Workstream 1 recommendations was also linked to the understanding that Workstream 2 was going to be taken very seriously and not delayed forever or not under-resourced. I think that's a very important point to remember, that the Workstream 2 recommendation is part of the Workstream 1 recommendation. And we need to provide clear demonstration that it is taken very seriously. And slow starting it is a good way, as Avery was saying, to start the background research, collect data, initiate some discussions, keep the base work on available volunteer time, mostly. And of course, once we shift our focus to Workstream 2, the groups might change, there might be some additional volunteer time, and the pace might change, but I think we need to, we have this middle ground available for us, and that should balance the different views that we've heard so far. And I hope, I think it would be great to check whether there's any objection to that approach.
And for those who are participating remotely, you can make yourself heard with an objection by ticking red, by making a cross. And Siva, you were not in the AC room, so I apologize to you for not having put you in the queue. If you want to speak, certainly you will get the opportunity to do so. Please do.
So this is on your question, which required a binary answer. My answer is a little more complicated than binary, if you would permit me to. First of all, I agree that Workstream 2 should be a continuous process, but at the same time, it should not be started in a hurry. If it's started in a hurry, then it is the same group of participants and members continuing the same thinking onto Workstream 2. Workstream 2 is supposed to have address much larger topics, and so I feel that rethinking should be done about the constitution of members and participants so that we bring in some fresh thinking. And secondly, as far as the implementation is concerned, I'm not sure the view that transition does not happen if Workstream 1 implementation does not happen. So is it so dependent? Workstream 2 is supposed to come up with larger recommendations which will give a much fuller picture. And without having that fuller picture in view, if we are to implement some of the recommendations of Workstream 1, it might not quite fit into the larger picture that is to emerge after some time. So even Workstream 1 implementation with that purpose could be a little more deliberated. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Siva. Cavus, you've already spoken twice to this topic. Is that an old hand? Is that an old hand from you? Old hand?
No, I want to agree with
is it,
with Matthew.
Are you
with some,
filing
with
an
some
objection?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Paul?
Thank you. I just want to reinforce Matthew's comment, which I think in some respects was contrary to the whole previous conversation. A number of the issues that are on Workstreams 2, we agreed to put on Workstream 2 because they were important, but we couldn't come to conclusions. One of those things on Workstream 2 actually has proposed language in Workstream 1, which says, give us the answer within 12 months. So, for those of us who pay for our own airfares, who make the time available, go away from work to come to these meetings, to be then told when you arrive at the meeting, no, we're going to do that next. Sorry, I found that very annoying. So there are certain topics, at least in Workstream 2, I think should start now, not least because you've got wording in the bylaws you're presenting which says it should be finished within 12 months. So I'm happy to say you can call it preliminary work, you can give it any wording you want. I agree, let's not get confused about getting Workstream 1 completed, but let's not be insulting about people who've made the efforts to come here and talk about some of these topics. And we've got a limited time frame, so we can at least start discussions.
Thanks very much, Paul. I guess that's well understood. Good. The next question that we would like to discuss with you is the question, which topics could potentially be combined? So are there any views on maybe linking or merging even some of the Workstream 2 items. Maybe we can bring back the slide that shows the Workstream 2 items. That would be great. Eberhard, your hand is raised.
Can't we first determine on which, because it appears that none of us has actually read this 380 pages, other than Paul. Can we maybe determine which streams of Workstream 2 have a deadline, so that we know which? So that's the one that we have to start with, no matter what we're discussing. So we should identify which one we need to do first, according to our own Workstream 1 proposals, and then we can decide what we do next.
Thanks, Eberhard. We will talk about the prioritization of our work as we move on. For the moment, we would like to focus on which topics the group thinks can be maybe merged and worked on jointly, because there are links between some of these topics. If there are none, that's fine. But the issue has been brought up, the question has been brought up earlier, so we would like to hear views on this question from you. And the first one to raise his hand is Alan, please.
Yeah, thank you. Without trying to denigrate any of the items, I don't think there were any deadlines in the final version. There was a deadline at one point on human rights, but that was taken out. There are certainly targets, I believe. And we should try to honor them, but I don't believe there's anything that we could refer to as a deadline.
That is correct. Nonetheless, if targets are being mentioned, you know, those shouldn't be. Yeah, we should try to aspire to them. Any views on whether we should interlink, combine, or however structure the work? By merging or otherwise combining the Workstream 2 items. Any views on that? This is the opportunity to streamline the process, if you see the opportunity to do that. If not, we will deal with those individually, which is fine. But we just want to make sure that no one comes in 6 months' time and says, well, you should have been looking at those 2 points or 3 points together. So if you think that any of these topics should be worked on maybe in one team rather than in two teams, please do speak up. If you think that staff accountability and SOAC accountability should be dealt with by the same people, let us know. I'm not suggesting you should, but Chris, your hand is raised. I'm sorry, Chris. There's a queue forming, so we have Steve, Cavus, Ellen, and Chris.
Thanks, Thomas. It's Steve DelBianco. I mentioned this prior to the coffee break, but the final four items listed here under Workstream 2, the SOAC accountability, staff accountability, increased transparency, and ombudsman, those all fit into accountability and transparency, which is in the purview of ATRT. So as I think a few of us suggested before the break, those four, whether it feeds into ATRT3 or ATRT3 initiates it, those four could be done together to the extent of gathering the views of the CCWG and teeing them up for ATRT3. So to answer your question, I think the bottom four could be done together.
Let's hear more views on that. Cavus?
Yes, I think we need to look at again to the prioritizations of the issues. When we discussed in the GAC call, I explained to the distinguished GAC colleagues that recommendation 6 is agreed. They agreed to that because there is a commitment to do these human rights at the work stream too. So at least in order to maintain that agreement, we need to have prioritization and we need to put these two, human rights and jurisdiction, at the top of the list. Thank you.
Thanks. The question in front of us at the moment is not the question of prioritization, although it's an important one. This is about what we can package, if any. Alan?
First, a question. On the previous slide, which had a diagram, there was an eighth item that was said interim bylaw. I don't know what that is.
That was just to visualize that the topics in Workstream 2 are going to be covered by an interim bylaw that ensures,
okay,
that there's,
okay,
a commitment from the board to honor Workstream 2 recommendations as they would Workstream.
Okay, we're not writing another interim bylaw. Okay. I look at the items quite differently. The first three are items which very much need a lot of homework and preparation, a la what Cheryl was mentioning before. I think embarking on items 1 to 3, diversity, human rights, and jurisdiction, without some good staff work being done ahead of time, giving us statistics, giving us information about what the possible issues are, I think would be foolish. It would generate a lot of talk, but not necessarily talk leading somewhere. So I think those items need several months' worth of work, and that may well cover the implementation period of work, of Workstream 1. So I think that's really important to do properly. When we enter into it with real knowledge, not just random gut feelings. I don't see any opportunity to combine any of those items. I think they're all quite different. But I think the first three are probably the ones that we need to start thinking about soon. But I'm not sure it's time to convene groups to talk about them. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. We're going to talk about a straw man project plan, and maybe something along the lines of an issues report is something that we should bake into that. And so that's well noted. I think we now had Chris, Eberhard, Robin, Sebastian, and after that the queue is closed.
Thank you. Chris Lahat, for the record. I don't think it was Chris Despain who was in the queue.
Nobody wants to be confused with Chris Despain. I understand that.
Yes, I'm the better looking,
including myself.
I just wanted to talk about a couple of things because the role as the Ombudsman does spread across a number of these topics, in particular diversity and human rights. But I don't want to complicate things unduly. When I first started in this role, which is nearly 5 years ago, it was immediately obvious that the bylaw and framework needed change. Every time I started an initiative, something happened which made it necessary to listen to what people had to say and put off the work of making those changes. ATRT2, for example, has made a number of recommendations about the role of the Ombudsman. And the new GTLD program has, I think, raised numbers of issues about the way that I'm able to look at issues. And gradually, as we've moved along, issues like privacy also have started to become more important. So there's a whole ragtag bundle of items which need to be reviewed in terms of the Ombudsman. Frankly, I had become a little bit impatient because I've wanted to address these issues for some time, and so I seized the initiative, and there is a session on Wednesday afternoon at 3:30, which is called The Role of the Ombudsman Post-Transition. I don't believe it's appropriate for me as the Ombudsman to tell you what I think I should be doing. I absolutely want the community to come together with a consensus view as to the sorts of things that I should be doing and any tweaking to the bylaw and to the framework which would enable me to continue on. For completeness, I should say that the Ombudsman was established in around about 2003, so the atmosphere, the framework, all of those things in 2002, 2003 are very, very different from what we're doing now. The number of staff has multiplied by 10 times. The community has expanded enormously. We're taking on all sorts of things which no one anticipated. So my idea for having the session on next Wednesday was brainstorming. This isn't where we're going to solve the problems. It's where we can start thinking about the issues, no more than that. And so I invite anybody who's interested in the role of the Ombudsman to that. I'll make a brief presentation to tell you about what I'm doing, the sorts of issues that I currently handle, and then I want to open it for people to start talking to me about that. Now, I realise that this is running effectively in parallel to Workstream 1, but it's not intended to be the process to change anything. It's intended to be a conversation, and I hope, carrying from what happens on Wednesday afternoon, people can then come at their leisure, depending on their commitments on other things, but having had that initial conversation so that we've got some direction on what people want from the Ombudsman. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. I let you explain this because there were some questions surrounding your session earlier today before you came to join us. Nonetheless, for the reminder of the queue, let me remind everyone of what the question was, and that is whether you think that we can bundle items in Workstream 2 to be worked on together. Next in queue is Eberhard.
Even on the danger that Roloff accuses me again of saying something sensible or even worse, agrees with me. I don't think we can lump too much together. I think we can lump together staff accountability and transparency. I do not think we can put SOAC accountability with staff accountability because it's entirely different issues. I also think we should not forget that some things depend on each other. For example, I think the Ombudsman should come last because the changes we make in the first six streams may affect what he is doing. Yeah, and I must chastise the Ombudsman forgetting to mention that he has got a cocktail function on Tuesday.
Thanks for this useful reminder. Next in line is Alan. Was that an old hand from you? Was old hand? Robin.
Hi, this is Robin Gross for the record. I just wanted to highlight the importance of working on the issue of transparency in Workstream 2, and I don't think it should be lumped in with other ones, and I think it should be moved towards the top of the list of Workstream 2, and I'll tell you why. Many of the fixes that we have in Workstream 1 are very much dependent upon transparency. We switched from we switched to the designator model depending upon board recall in order to achieve many of our accountability fixes. So that means we need to know what the board is doing. We need to have more transparency in order to be able to effectively utilize the powers that we created in Workstream 1. And on the issue of transparency, we've got a lot of sub-issues in there. We've got transparency of board deliberations. We've got transparency with governments. We've got transparency around the DIDB reforms. So we've got a huge chunk of work on that issue that is extremely important and critical to everything else that we're trying to build. So I'd like to suggest that transparency be done, not with the other groups or not with the other issues, and be moved to the top of the list. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Jan, you're between us and lunch.
Nope.
Your hand is still raised.
Oh.
No?
Oh.
Okay.
That was efficient.
That was an efficient threat, obviously. Joking aside, thanks for the interesting discussion. What we learned from this is that, you know, a lot of you are keen on making certain items a priority. We learned something about prep work that needs to be done. We heard about some dependencies of the work in terms of sequencing them. We're going to talk about sequencing the work later today. But I think the main topic is that the response to the binary question that I meant to ask, i.e., do you think we can bundle anything, is no. So we're not going to bundle. We're going to treat them all differently, being cognizant of the dependencies and making sure that as we plan our work that we would build certain items on the prep work that needs to be done in other areas. With that, I think we can break for lunch. Quite conveniently, the sun has come through. I need to check with staff now. Is that our lunch outside here that's being prepared now?
This is the co-chair lunch.
And you're going to go into the basement, right? Grace, can you help with this? That's our lunch. We're going to have a 1-hour lunch break. Talk to you soon. And thanks to the remote participants.